become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you. You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it. And this is ETL Daily. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. It is great to be here this evening, and I am here with Stephen the Pop Culture Zealot. Hello, Stephen. How's it going?
Fantastic.
Fantastical, sir. Bravo.
Yes.
And we will have Bill here in a second. I think Skype is acting up on him. So he will be with us in a brief moment. But, guys, thank you so much for joining us for ETL Daily. It's great to be here. And we're here to talk about film, television, and pop culture. And it's been quite a week, man. Lots of crazy stuff. And I don't know if you saw this. When Bill comes on here, we'll talk about this more. But, you know, last week, Stephen, I was bitching about the Neil Blomkamp story.
Yeah.
Well, apparently more news came out this week. Did you see that? That
yes.
It's actually a Go film. Is that right?
That's what I read as well.
It's the story. Yes, I do think that's awesome that there will be. But I'm getting sick of the story. Is that wrong of me to feel that way?
Well, I guess you'll. It depends on, have you been barraged with it?
Well, I kept seeing I kept seeing people post that it was a done deal before it was.
Right.
And then I was like, don't report this story. So now people are printing the confirmed story. It says 20th Century Fox has closed a deal with director Neil Blomkamp to develop a new Alien movie, sources confirm. Well, it's good the sources confirm that, Stephen. The untitled sci-fi project is separate from Prometheus 2, which Fox is still making with Ridley Scott. Blomkamp, who directed District 9 in the upcoming Sony feature Chappie, had been teasing the project in recent months, but said that the extraterrestrial reboot was likely abandoned. Did he really say the extraterrestrial reboot was likely abandoned? I doubt he used those words, but it was supposed to star alien veteran Sigourney Weaver. So he said, so I think this is officially my next film, and he Instagrammed it. So that's cool. I would love seeing the way, because I love the effects in his movie, how everything looks. And I'd love to see how he does an alien film. I think it's going to be cool.
See if it can feel, I'll say, you want to say realistic or dirty, gritty feel?
Yeah, and I honestly, let's see if Bill's here now. Hello, Bill, are you there? Del Fox X-Ray, come in, Bill. My 1 megabyte of RAM, Steven, that's what that is. Bill, do you read me? Wait, there, I heard a... Steven, what do we do? You know what?
Vamp.
I know I always complain about stories like this, because whenever you do a news story, you have to put it in a way that somebody who knows nothing about anything you're talking about can understand it. But I always feel like I'm being talked to like I'm an idiot, so I get annoyed because it says stuff like this. Prometheus, also distributed by Fox, was loosely based on the Alien franchise and earned over $400 million worldwide. The 3D movie opened to mixed reviews. Fox hopes Blomkamp, who last directed Elysium, can take the franchise to the next level. But the whole part about Prometheus and loosely based on, it's like, I know, it's, but they have to print that in order to...
People may not be as movie savvy as you.
Right, right, right. Okay, let's try it now. And let's see if Bill's there.
All right, I think I'm good.
Bill, all right, you're here.
Yes.
Yes, yes, the computer. We got it. We got it. We got it. Bill, hey, everybody, it's Bill. Woohoo! Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Hello. It's amazing how you don't use this for a while, and then everything just...
Okay, thank you, studio audience. They're happy to see you, Bill.
Yeah, I'm happy to see me, too.
Now, Bill, I was just talking about the Neil Blomkamp story.
That the aliens thing?
He is now confirmed to be making a new Alien film. Since the entire internet is talking about it, I thought we should, too.
Yeah, why not?
I think he's an exciting filmmaker.
He's definitely an exciting filmmaker.
I don't know how you feel about this, but I almost feel like it's been long enough where we could go somewhere else with the story. We don't need Ripley back. Am I right?
Yeah, I would rather just abandon that whole idea of Ripley. And wasn't even some of his art involved Hudson?
I don't know. Maybe Hicks, you mean?
Or Hicks, sorry. Yeah.
Well, one of the pictures has like Ripley wearing an alien mask or something, like she's wearing a suit.
And there was the Hicks with the melted half face.
Yeah, I like to think that he's just doodling and stuff, that none of it...
It's just ideas that he had. Whether they were being used or not.
Right, right. They're greenlighting this movie based on the internet reaction or whatever to... Or their own reaction to these cool sketches,
I guess. There even a script, per se, written?
No.
Because Fox is a cluster F. I mean, anytime they think they're going to make some money at something, they're going to make it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's any good or not. I mean, coming from Neil... Yeah, from Neil Blomkamp. Blomkamp. I would expect something halfway decent, but Fox does not have the best track record of, hey, that's a good idea, let's make another one. I mean,
right.
How many times do we have to go back and look at their track record of Planet of the Apes? Hey, why not? Hey, Tim Burton has a really good idea.
Right.
Let's do that.
The Apes franchise seems to be back on track, though, now.
Well, finally, yeah.
And also,
maybe that's what this will be. Maybe it'll be back on track.
Well, yeah, his movies are all visually exciting. That's what I'm excited about. I think it'll look really awesome and add some of those Elysium District 9 type weapons versus aliens. That'll be
sure.
Pretty
I'm just
cool.
A little confused about where they want to go with the idea of Chappie. Because right now it seems that the marketing is a little all over the place. Like, I just saw, Kingsman, and there was a trailer before it, and it was completely different from the first trailer. It was like, it went from a robot discovering itself into a robot just killing everyone.
Well, no, I think that's probably the first half and second half of the movie.
Okay, so they just decided to release it in two different trailers.
Well, I almost think it's like this. This is my own deciphering of what I've seen, is that the first teaser trailer that we saw was this part of the movie, and the second one was now this part of the movie.
Oh, okay.
I think it'll be Chappie becoming aware and making friends, and then the second half is them having to eliminate artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks like that the villain is Sigourney Weaver in this. And Hugh Jackman is the guy hunting Chappie.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know how Elysium, it was very cool visually and all this stuff, but it also had this very violent nature to it. Chappie looks like that. Looks like it could be sweet, like Chappie's sweet and you fall in love with him. But it also looks brutal too. Like it could really be shocking visually, you know?
Yeah.
Like things that happen to people. Because... He bases all of his films in like a junk pile, doesn't he?
He really does. I think that's just his South African coming out in him.
Like, I would love to see his alien film to be just like a Halo-type battlefield of Marines versus aliens kind of thing.
He was actually supposed to do the Halo film.
Yeah, a long time ago. That was his big claim to fame for a long time at first.
Yeah, it was Peter Jackson's choice to do that.
Peter Jackson! So, how's it going, Bill?
It's going. It's been hectic and interesting and wonderful and You know, it's life is strange. You know, you get sucked into so many different things, especially with all the schoolwork going on and figuring out your new partnership with someone, and it's it gets a little hectic, and you don't. I am trying to be so nice. Did you hear that?
Yes. You better watch it, Bill.
I know. I'll tread lightly. No. Yeah, but things are good.
Well, Bill, thin ice. Well, be careful.
Oh, dang it!
Now, Bill, you said you saw The Kingsman, right?
Yeah, Natalie and I went the other night. We just wanted to get out of the house, and we were going to go see 50 Shades of Grey, ironically. You know, just like, let's go see it. Let's, you know, let's throw some money at it. And, yeah, whenever we went there, we just kind of lost interest all of a sudden. We were like, we're hungry. We were actually hangry. And we only had, like,
regular mood, hangry.
Yeah. And we didn't want to rush to the theater, and 50 Shades started at 8:10, and then we started looking, and we saw that Kingsman started at 8:45. We're like, let's get something to eat and go to Kingsman.
Matthew Vaughn, he's a very entertaining director. You know you're going to get an entertaining film out of him, right?
Yeah, he is. He's an interesting character. I wasn't a huge fan of Kick-Ass, as I've let everyone know, because I'm a comic snob, I guess, of it. Or maybe I just enjoyed the comic book more.
You didn't like how they changed things from the comic.
Well, they went... The comic had some really wonderful, emotionally impactful moments involving the father, and the ending, you know, specifically with Big Daddy.
You didn't like the jetpack stuff, I remember.
Oh,
that.
I hated the jetpack stuff. I hated the jetpack stuff. Yeah, but I mean, it's the Nicolas Cage character. He was a freaking delusional lunatic in the comic book. He wasn't like this idealistic dad, you know, with his daughter and a rich guy selling off comics and becoming a vigilante. He was basically a lunatic who stole his daughter away from her family.
Well, he was a lunatic in the movie too.
Well, yeah, he was a lunatic in the movie too, but they gave him kind of a pass. You know, they kind of endeared him to you as opposed to revealed him to be kind of as big of a monster as the people they were fighting.
Right. So tell me about The Kingsman.
The Kingsman is such a self-reverential film. It blends all of the greatness of the Bond films, the In Like Flint films, the Matt Helm films, and turns it on its head. Like, it's totally self-aware. It's self-aware to a point where at times it's uncomfortable how self-aware it is. Like, the character, the big bad in it is Samuel L. Jackson playing this, kind of a mix of Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and the guy that was the villain in the really awful Bond film, from Brazil. What's that guy's name? Who played is it Jonathan?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he was a really bad kind of like tech giant.
The world is not enough, is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah, he was okay. A tech giant villain. And that's really what Samuel Jackson is. He's like this guy that develops all these things, and he comes up with this idea that the world is dying, and the only way to cure the world is to call the Horde, you know, or just take as much people out as possible. So he develops this SIM card that, I'm not giving away the plot, no more than the reviews. So it's just kind of this little cat and mouse game between him and, the Kingsman. Him, like, discovering who these guys are, because they're not affiliated with anyone but themselves. They are basically a vigilante organization.
Oh, really? There's not like Her Majesty's Secret Service kind of thing?
Nope. They are
rogue type.
Yeah, they're a rogue kind of group. It's
cool.
I
like that idea.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. There's a lot of great tech in it.
Is it based on a comic book, Bill?
Yeah, it is apparently based on a comic book, but has almost nothing to do with the comic book.
Oh, okay.
Like, the comic book is so different from the actual film, because in the comic book, it's just a modern-day agency. There's nothing special about them. But in Kingsman, they are this secretive organization that are tailors. So, yeah, they make bespoke suits, and that's their cover.
Okay.
So they're proper gentlemen who are also just kicking an ungodly amount of ass.
So was this in 3D, by the way, or is it just a 2D film?
You know what? It wasn't in 3D, but there were moments during the film that were very 3D-esque. The fight scenes, the depth of them, even the opening credits, where there's this wonderful opening credit sequence where you just kind of open up on this like desert fortress, and all of a sudden there's a flight over it and all kinds of explosions. And with every explosion, a part of the credits come out and bounce towards the screen.
So it would have been ripe for like 3D.
I almost have a feeling like it was shot with 3D in mind, and maybe in post-production they decided not to do it. I would have to read up on it, but there were times where I was really like, wow, that was prime for 3D. There's this, I would almost call it like the penultimate fight, like takes place in a church, and it's just this insane, brutal, one of the most violent things I've ever seen put on film.
Wow.
Like, I think Natalie just said it to the side of me. Is it a single shot? And it looks like it. That's how it flows so perfectly. The action is so wonderfully tracked and choreographed that it looks like a single shot.
So you mean like, but it's like a bunch of people getting mowed down or something?
Yeah. I mean, it's a bunch of people go crazy, and Colin Firth's agent is in the middle of it. And it's basically one man versus 200.
And is this is a rated R movie, right?
Oh, this is the hardest of hard R's. language, violence. I mean, I've never, if you thought John Wick was brutal,
mm-hmm.
this movie tops it and then multiplies it by 10.
Well, the reason I was, you know, asking that is because I remember that Kick-Ass is a very violent film.
Oh, this is very in the vein of Kick-Ass. Very vulgar. But what's great, what makes the vulgarity so great is that it's all these prim and proper English gentlemen. And it's so funny.
That's cool. I think, you know, you're making me want to see it. Cause I was
recommend
kind of on the
it.
Fence.
There's one particular line in it that I just did not see coming. And it made me cringe and laugh out loud at the same time. Like, it's just so well balanced. Jane Goldman also co-wrote this script with Matthew Vaughn, and she's his go-to partner, writing partner. And that Kick-Ass sense of humor is there.
Well, he did, of course, a Layer Cake, which was like,
really
came on the scene with that. But wasn't he Jason. He was, the guy directed Snatch, Guy Ritchie's editor.
Yeah. He was.
He started out as an editor, correct?
Yeah, he started out as an editor, and then I think he was second unit and producer for Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Right, and now, you know, of course, he's a director in his own right now, but all of his films have a lot. They're always visually stunning, and I really like Stardust. I still love that movie, Stardust.
Yeah, Stardust is just, it's a beautiful film. It's a very
funny movie, too.
Yeah, it's very, I think it's one of my favorite Robert De Niro roles.
Yeah.
Because he looks like he's, so many movies that he's been in recently, he just looks miserable. And for that film, it looked like he was genuinely having a good time.
Right. And the star of that, Charlie Cox, he's Daredevil now on the Netflix series.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. So I'm excited
good
to see
for him.
Cause I really like that. Stardust is on Netflix. If you haven't seen Stardust, watch it. It's a very entertaining film and very funny. And it's got, you know, it's also very, that's a pretty violent film too, isn't it? But it's like comically violent. If I can,
you know, I just put Matthew Vaughn's name into the search engine, and this article popped up on the Mary Sue, and I mentioned the joke near the end that kind of made me cringe and laugh out loud, and I guess he's getting a lot of shit for it now, because they felt it was misogynist.
Oh.
And it's a sex joke, and it's a really intense sex joke. And do you not remember... There's a moment with a certain damsel in distress. And whenever he goes to her, she promises him something in a very crude way that makes him go, "I'll be right back."
So I guess we'll have to see the film to understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it.
Right. Just let me see it and I'll.
No, I'm not ruining the plot. I'm just giving an overview. I've got a side broadcaster here next to me. She's like, "I'm sorry,
broadcaster." But yeah. Steven, you'll go see that with me, right?
Yeah,
Kingsman.
Oh, guys, please go see it. I had so much fun with it. By the end of
last weekend,
do you want to know my main fear about the film? Seriously,
what?
Is the main character seem kind of douchey to me? The kid.
The kid is a little douchey, but he's douchey in the way that John Boyega is in Attack the Block.
Okay.
You know, kind of very, very
cocky,
yeah. But he goes through a huge, like, it's his journey. The film realizes his character incredibly well.
Thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio.
Yeah, I recommend it. I really do. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I wasn't sure if I would because the reviews are very, very mixed, but at least Drew McWeeny kind of got the whole vibe that he was going for.
Drew
and
McWeeny is our champion right now.
He really is. He's fantastic. He seems to be the only rational person out there, like a critic who isn't a total asshole.
Bill, I want to read this story because what I bitch about every episode is a story that's all over the internet. And a lot of times it's just like one picture or a still. And I'm like, God, you know, but this is Harry Knowles reporting this story.
Oh God.
So I want to read this to you guys. Okay. "Hey folks, Harry here. I love Aquaman, but nothing more than the original Aquaman animated TV show. In a very bizarre way, because I snorkeled and dove as a child in the Caribbean."
Oh, Jesus. There he goes. He's always got to somehow relate it to
something. So he snorkeled in the Caribbean.
Yes. So that made him Aquaman.
"The comics came to life for me with all the beauty of that patch of sea. The Georgia Aquarium in Atlanta is a must for all those that love the wonder of the life in the sea. Amazing. Anyway, Zack Snyder unleashed his savagely fierce Aquaman, who seems to be the Dark Lord of the Seven Seas, with a really badass-looking trident. I've no idea what this Batman v. Superman Dawn of Justice is going to be, but I'm suspecting Zack Snyder is at the start of a huge dump of coolness." I have a worded very
A huge
well.
Dump of coolness?
"We'll be picking up every bit he drops of dump.
Of dump."
"Momoa is an intense fella. I met him."
And oh, of course he did.
"And he instantly put me in a chokehold with increasing pressure. Of course, now he's Aquaman. So somewhere I have Aquaman in a bowler hat chokeholding me. That rules. Here's what Zach dropped." And it's a picture of Aquaman saying, "Unite the Seven." And it's Jason Momoa holding a trident. But
that's not really a trident. That's got more than three prongs.
Yeah, it's got the five. It's a, what do they call the Jewish candle? Candelabra? Or
a pitchfork, dude.
The menorah?
It's a menorah.
He's holding a menorah.
That's eight.
He's Jewish Aquaman.
So here's what we get from...
Attack Dolphin!
All it is a picture of Jason Momoa's Aquaman, but we got this from Harry, that he snorkeled in the Caribbean as a kid. And he's met Jason Momoa, and he put him in a chokehold.
And he loves the,
He has a greater love for Aquaman because of his snorkeling.
The Atlanta Aquarium.
Yes, and...
you should go see it if you're a fan of sea life.
I just love the way he reports stories.
That is the ugliest trident I've ever seen.
I still don't say it's a trident. It's not a trident.
It's a quindent.
I have no idea. Decadent?
Yeah, it's a quindent, right?
It's a barbecue spit. That's what you get at Brazilian restaurants whenever they bring the meat to your table.
They just, how much, sir? Oh, I'll take that. And then you, there you go. But I am very interested in what this film's going to be like, because it sounds like it's going to be filled with superheroes and stuff. You know, it could be very cool.
I can't wait to know what people complain about. It's going to be so packed, or if it's
I need to make
be...
sure I get the memo before the movie if I'm supposed to hate it or not.
That's important. Without going in with that after reading that memo, you just are lost.
It's like, oh, guys, we're supposed to shit on this, just so you know, before we see the movie. Oh, okay.
We can't like this.
Oh, man, this movie's stupid. God, Zack Snyder sucks.
Yeah, it's so true.
And I just want to apologize to everyone for my hairy voice.
I love your hairy voice. It's very close.
Well, I've been watching the Ain't It Cool show.
You're a better man than I. Whenever you told me about the second episode, I watched it for about 8 minutes and had to bail.
Yeah. It was all about the Oscars. But did you notice it wasn't about the current Oscars? It was about the Oscars from last year or the year before, I think?
Oh, so he shot this already?
He's using a lot of footage from 2 years ago, it looks like.
So basically he bilked people out of money on Kickstarter and is now not doing any work with that money that he was given.
I'm going to say it kind of looks like that.
I'm not surprised.
Maybe.
That could be the case.
So, okay, what films open up this week, Bill?
Well, let me pull those up real quick. I know that, was it McFarlane USA opened? Because that was all over the TV today.
Yeah, what's and McFarlane I guess that's USA?
That's the running movie with Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and it's got the Philip Phillips song in the commercial.
Christ. can we just drop the Philip Phillips song?
You're supposed to feel an emotion as you're listening to this song.
I just opened up IMDb, and on the right, we have the little affiliate link, and it's the video for McFarlane USA, and it's like, you'll love it. It's inspiring. It's wonderful. You know, it's just, okay, I get it. Thanks, Disney. And I like the little Disney above it. Like, this is a Disney film. It's safe to take your children.
You will find a new reason to live.
After you watch this movie, it's based on a true American story. So we got McFarlane USA opening. We have Hot Tub Time Machine Dose.
Yeah, that's right. That does come out. Are you curious to see that, Steven?
No.
Is that more like watch it on Comedy Central a year from now?
I'll watch it on cable, you know, on satellite when it comes on.
Right. It's not the...
I'm not spending a dime on it.
14% rotten.
Please tell us how you really feel, Steve.
I'm not spending time on that.
What was the original one rated on Rotten Tomatoes?
That's what I'm curious about, because I really liked the original Hot Tub Time Machine. That was 63% fresh.
Oh.
And so the second one is 14% rotten.
So is that the John Cusack quotient? Is that what the drop was?
Maybe originally it was kind of clever, but kind of, you know, dirty humor. But maybe this is all just gross out gags. I don't know.
Okay, so it's the same director, Steve Pink.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same writer. Or no, it's not the same writers. It just has – it's Josh Heald. And so the first one had three writers, Josh Heald, John Morris, Sean Anders. So, yeah, two of the people bailed. So maybe the two people that bailed were the ones that made the first one good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of want to see it. I like Rob Corddry. I like Craig Robinson. I love Adam Scott. I didn't know Adam Scott was in it.
And I like the what's the other guy? The young guy's name.
Clark Duke.
Clark Duke always cracks me up.
Yeah, he was great in Shit, what else was he in? He was in that show that we... Was it on ABC Family? Greek. He was the roommate to... Was it Rusty in Greek?
Hey, how about you sit the fuck back down before me and you have a problem?
He was in that movie called Sex Drive. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, he was great in that, too.
He was pretty funny.
I like Sex Drive a lot.
That is a funny movie. I remember making Heather watch that. She's like, why are we watching this?
Was that the one with Seth Green playing the Amish guy? Yeah, that was... I like that.
He's like,
I remember I made the mistake, though, of watching the extended cut first.
Yes, yes. When you get the DVD, there's the extended cut, but then there's like the crazy director's cut where they... superimposed naked women walking by and stuff.
Yeah, for no reason.
And I was like, okay, we need to just watch the theatrical cut. it was just like a joke cut of the movie, but you can't watch that first.
Well, that's so often the case with DVD releases is the studios are now, hey, do you have more movie we could put out there? And it just seemed like them going, okay, screw you. Here it is.
You know,
here's the more movie.
I wanted to tell this quick weird story that, you know, Emma went to a dance tonight and, Heather said she needs her gold shoes to go with her dress. And, we couldn't find the gold shoes anywhere. So it's like, oh, they're at Grandma's. So Emma and I went over to Grandma's. We couldn't find them. So Heather was like, take her to a shoe store and get some shoes. And I was like, okay. So as we're leaving, there's a squirrel in the yard. No big deal. We see squirrels all the time. The squirrel comes running towards us. I'm not kidding. Like, and I go, whoa, 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 whoa. And Emma goes, look at the squirrel. And I go, get back, get back. And I swear he came like a foot from me. I go, what the hell? Get away from me. And then I was like, this thing's about to leap on my head or something. So I like jump back and it was right where the side mirror is to the Equinox of the car. And I slammed into it with my lower back. It hurt so freaking bad. And I was like, oh, shit. And as soon as I did, I saw the squirrel like running away. I don't know if it was my profanity or whatever. But Emma was like, you scared it away. I was like, he was about to murder me. He was going to jump on my neck and rip through my jugular. I just know it.
The rabid squirrel.
I don't know. Like some squirrels, like people feed them and they're used to people. Yeah. They're not afraid of them. It ran up to us like, hey, how's it going? And
you got food.
It freaked me out. I was going to kick it in the head or something. My first reaction was, get the hell away from me.
I guess you'd have freaked out because years ago I was playing on a golf tournament for work, and we had a squirrel ride on the golf cart with us because we were feeding it chips. But it sat right there and rode with us.
Did you name it Chips?
What kind of chips?
Yeah, it's like if I had a shotgun, I would have blasted that thing. Is that horrible?
Yeah, we'd take off and we'd call it and it would run up the greens at us. So it was pretty funny.
You son of a bitch.
Now, what about this movie called The Duff? It's the girl from Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mae Whitman. It actually looks kind of cute, funny, kind of, it's 62% fresh. And
that's a good sign.
Oh, it looks kind of cute. Looks cool.
Yeah, I'd give it a shot. I mean, I'm not going to go to the theater to see it, but I'll watch it. Still haven't seen the SpongeBob movie. Every time I see that trailer, it cracks me up.
It is a funny movie, and it's funny because in the movie, Antonio Banderas is the bad pirate, and he's just having a blast playing this ridiculous character. It's pretty funny.
And, so did you go to see it with Emma?
Yeah. And just, there were times, and I know I just totally feed off her, like, enjoying something. I looked over at her and she was losing her mind cracking up. And that's what I get a kick out of, seeing her just cracking up. There's this part where, Plankton is trying to get some information from SpongeBob. So he sneaks into his head and enters his brain and he sees what SpongeBob's brain, like what's going on in his head. And it's so funny. It's hilarious. Like the world inside his brain. It's SpongeBob. If you like SpongeBob, you'll love the movie.
Oh, that's awesome. I, a couple weeks ago, Natalie and I, watched my niece and decided to go see a movie. And we saw Strange Magic.
Strange Magic.
That was the – we didn't expect what we got. Like, we thought it would be like an – like an animated kind of. Oh, Chief, watch your mouth!
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we were very annoyed and angry.
Like, did she hold you responsible for making her watch this movie?
I am not, I knew how bad the reviews were.
Right. So, Drew McWeeny did not like the movie.
Yeah, cause I just said, you know what? No, Jordan wants to see it. I'm not gonna look at the reviews because I know it's awful. What I didn't expect was how truly awful it was. When the Lucasfilm Limited thing comes up, I kind of felt like we were in trouble. I wasn't fully aware that this was a fully funded Lucasfilm experiment. I didn't see any other studio logo except Lucasfilm Limited.
Yeah, Disney was not taking credit for the movie at all.
No. because whenever, it starts, you're like, oh, this is gorgeous. Like, it's a stunning looking film. Like almost nearly photorealistic kind of, CGI. And then she starts singing. And it's not good singing. And it's
like
not
contemporary music too.
It felt like a temp track. It was a bunch of really dated, awful, almost public domain sort of songs. And I think whenever we knew we were in trouble was about 20 minutes into the movie, whenever the Kelly Clarkson song, I think it's Stronger. One of the fairies catches the guy that she is going to marry kiss another fairy. So all of a sudden it's, how dare he, I'm going to be stronger, and she starts singing the Kelly Clarkson song, and it was bad, and then there's a ball.
I can't see George Lucas writing that part of the movie.
Yeah, it was so just out of nowhere, but here's the thing, there were like, out of a 90-minute film, there was about 10 minutes that was actually, there was something there. Like, I can see where maybe...
Well, isn't it a Midsummer Night's Dream?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
No, not really. It's just more,
Oh, I think that's what Drew McWeeny says. They need to stop saying that's what this is because it's not or something like that.
No, it's not. If it was, that would be really interesting. I would maybe buy that. But this is, a girl gets, a scorned lover, and the guy, his whole motivation to getting involved with her is she's a princess and he wants an army. And, that was about the extent of the depth of this film. Oh, and there's an elf that falls in love with the princess's friend, and he decides that she'll never fall in love with him, so he needs to use this strange magic, a potion.
Strange magic!
Yeah, and, he uses the potion, it backfires, and then this, like, rat possum gets a hold of it and for 15 minutes just runs around the forest.
I was just seeing if I had that song.
That was the best song in the entire film.
Oh, well, that's good at least.
At least they knew that was their go-to.
They named the film that. Hey, I wanted to ask you this because the Oscars is this Sunday. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going into the friggin' Oscars blind, Bill. So what movies have you seen any? I know you uploaded a lot of, I know that they're available to me if I wanted to watch them, but I didn't get a chance to. But Bill, have you seen any of the Oscar nominees?
Not really, no. I haven't had time. Yeah. You've told me to watch Whiplash, and I've been meaning to watch it. I think tomorrow, I have a lot of schoolwork I have to get done, and tonight we're getting a huge snowstorm. So I have a feeling tomorrow is going to be kind of a catch up on Oscar films.
You know what's funny though is I really want you to watch Chef because I enjoyed that film so much.
You know what? I've been meaning to watch that for a very, very long time, and I've heard good things about it.
Oh, it's great. I really, I'd rather you watch that than anything else right now, just because I really enjoyed it.
Alright, we'll give it a watch then. And that's because, on Netflix, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's on the Netflix.
Awesome.
I like to call it the Netflix.
The Netflix.
Did you get to watch any of Bosch yet?
I rewatched the first, the pilot episode, and I saw what you meant where they recast some people, they added one or two scenes.
Yeah, yeah, they changed some things from the pilot, which, you know, what's funny is I wonder if that'll, it looks like they're kind of changing it up because, Man in the High Castle, that pilot came out recently. And, Amazon already greenlit it to go to a season. But when Bosch first premiered, was it like 2 years ago or a year and a half ago?
It was almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Ow! The cat just clawed me for no reason.
Oh, shit.
Crazy cat.
Between pilot to episode two, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And so it looks like they're trying to, do it a much quicker turnaround.
Yeah, I was surprised at how quick, and I think it was more than just the man in the, is it Man in High Castle? Man in the High Castle.
Yeah, and also Mad Dogs, which I haven't watched yet.
Mad Dogs or Down Dog? Or
no, it's the one called Mad Dogs that Sean Ryan's producing.
Oh, okay, because the other one was like some sort of yoga comedy thing.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't watch that one.
No, I didn't either. I just was like, nah, I'll just watch this.
I think of all the series, I was surprised that they greenlit. It was that Mozart in the Jungle.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the pilot of it. It was just kind of like,
Yeah, the whole season's up on Amazon already. Like,
wow.
Yeah, and
I know Netflix is actually now producing films. Like, they signed Adam Sandler to make films for Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
So this whole online streaming model is really kind of taking off.
All those Adam Sandler films we are too embarrassed to see in the theater, we can watch them at home now.
Yeah, like, what was the one that he produced that was the video games, Grandma's Boy?
Yeah, Grandma's Boy.
That should have never been in the theaters. In fact, that should have just been kept and stored in a lockbox and never shown to anyone.
You know what's funny is, did you guys read recently that Netflix wants to do a Zelda live-action series?
And yeah, I wasn't sure how to take that.
Yeah, it depends on, like, which way are they going to do, like, a kid's show, or is it going to be more of a
fantasy
adult, or is it going to be, like, maybe teenager type of fantasy, type of Vampire Diaries
Lord
or something?
Lord of the Rings versus Vampire Diaries.
Which way are they going to go with it?
Versus cartoon.
And I saw on one website, there's this new kid show. It's Richie Rich, live action Richie Rich. And the trailer was up there. And, it looks like a bad Disney sitcom. Like my daughter watches those shows, which it's fine. She's the right age to watch sitcoms with laugh tracks and the telegraphed humor that you could see coming a mile away.
Right.
But, in the article, they were like, do we really want Netflix to make a Zelda series? Look at this trailer. It could turn out like this. And I was like, what? How is this an example of making like a kid's sitcom and then like a fantasy? I don't know. It's just people, like, again, Bill, they have to create a story. So you click on their story.
I just want them to remake whatever they did for those CDI games. It's like this really awful animation.
Yeah, I always wondered about those. They, like, the Philips CDI, they had the Zelda games. Did you ever – did they have them on the 3DO also?
I think they might have moved him over to the 3DO, but my friend Brant actually had that Philips CDI, and we all made fun of him for it, because there's actually a Mario game for it also that I remember that was particularly awful.
It's like there was some kind of loophole where the other manufacturer could make the game or something.
Yeah, it was very, very strange. I'm almost positive that there's a Angry Video Game Nerd episode all about it.
There's Spoony did several episodes.
Oh, Spoony. Whatever happened to Spoony? Is he still around?
Spoony is still around. He just did... Every once in a while, I'll look at his site, like, what's Spoony up to? And he did Massacre at Central High, Part 1 and 2, where he reviews those films. And I found it pretty entertaining. But what's so bad is he gets so much, what would you say, negative feedback or just trolling that he had to turn off comments to his videos.
Oh, wow.
Because he has a Patreon, like we do, except his is, like, way more successful.
Oh, I had no idea.
He has, like, I mean, I don't want to be tacky here, but the dude's making over $4,000 a month doing his videos, which is, you know, awesome. All, you know, it's great.
Great for him.
Great for him. But all of his comments on his videos are like, this wasn't worth the amount of money you're making every month. You need to step it up and stuff like that. So he turned off his comments. So naturally, wow, you wouldn't want to hear that all the time, would you?
No. And I mean, granted, I liked a lot of his earlier stuff whenever we first kind of discovered him.
Right.
And I'm not a fan of his Counter Monkey stuff. And I'm not a real big, what is he? He does all those videos with the,
he does, like, stuff about wrestling, which I could care less about. And
I never understood that. I never understood how some of my friends still kind of enjoy that. I mean, when I was a kid, I always felt it was a little too theatrical, and now it's just, like, turned to 11. Like, it's beyond theatrical at this point. It's just
it's just something he's into, I guess. But, I mean, I will still watch some things, and it'll genuinely make me laugh. And there's sometimes where it goes over my head where I'm like, oh, I don't really understand. I'm not, I don't get it, but it's okay. But it's strange how much hate that he gets. And there's even it's not called I Hate Spoonie, but it's an anti-Spoonie site where they talk about every post he makes and trash it. And I'm like, good God, that's, take some passion there.
What is that internet site? The Dramatica?
Total Drama?
No, there's, Dramatica. Oh, yeah, it's Encyclopedia Dramatica. It's basically where they track, like, any online presence and all the, it's like a wiki for people that are just rude and obnoxious.
Right, right.
It's just too much effort to be negative to people.
Some people have a lot of time in their hands. There's a anti-Leo Laporte site that I've looked at before, and I'm just like, good Lord. They watch him every day and they go, Leo said something this negative about so-and-so. And then they post a quick video of him saying it. And it's always totally out of context or it doesn't make sense. And
I remember he got a lot of people turned on him whenever he got angry at the guy that ran that one tech blog. I don't know if it was TechCrunch or whatever, where he felt that the guy was taking things, or he accused him of something like it was the guy from TechCrunch accused Leo Laporte of taking bribes, products that review products that he then didn't have to send back to the company.
Right. It was like, okay. It was the the Palm Pre phone. And remember, Leo reviewed it, and he had a review copy, and he talked about it. And the guy goes, "Did you pay for that? Did you pay for the pre, or did you get it free?" Because he's basically saying, you're only shilling that phone because they gave it to you. And Leo was like,
screw you.
Yes.
He got so mad. And then he even I don't know if you remember this, but he was like, he basically said, we're done. We're done with the show. And he goes, you guys can do it. Oh, he told Steven he could go do the show somewhere else. Do you remember that?
Steve, you can do the show somewhere else.
Which, that episode of the show, I don't remember what it was, but that drop gets played at least 50 times.
Steve, you can do the show somewhere else.
Every time Steven says something, you hear that. And eventually, Steven, you went, jeez, God, Leo.
It's got to be particularly difficult to have a successful career online whenever you have so many
I'm throwing you all off. Fuck you.
Yeah. Where you get to the point, we've never been that popular at all. You know, we have like a very tiny listenership, which is fine. I'm not complaining at all. But when you get to the point where you have trolls, that's when you're popular.
Yeah.
That's negative too.
I would never want to reach that point. Like, I would not want a Encyclopedia Dramatica article about me.
No.
That's just, I don't get the appeal. I mean, I understand these people are making money. That's their, it's their livelihood at this point.
Yeah.
But I know for a period of time, like Spoonie went through, some health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And his production lowered and people started turning on him.
And that's what's so funny is because we knew none of this until you just read the comments. You know, we were just watching his funny videos and you and I were trading links. Oh, did you watch this? This is pretty funny. Or he talks about Sega CD games or whatever. And then we'd read comments and that's where we get an idea that like, oh, what is the deal? People are like bitching about
people
him or something.
This guy, why are they hating him?
Yeah. It's like, I don't get it or whatever. It's kind of strange.
Yeah. And then he got in, I was even reading like he got involved with someone. He met a girl or something and the people didn't like the girl. So then they started like posting really nasty stuff. It was very Gamergate-ish.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I just don't understand this like online mentality that people just want to make other people miserable. It's this really strange masochistic behavior
I think with our select group of listeners, I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine.
It's a nice, happy medium there. We're good.
Yeah, I think, I wouldn't
want to
expose popularity. I don't know how he doesn't just go, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I would definitely have it where like...
You'd have to just not look, or ever.
Have to turn
you can't.
Off. You would turn off comments, wouldn't you? Where I don't have to see if you like what I'm doing, then check it out. But that's what's funny is like nobody comments on our shows.
Yeah. At this point,
comments off the ass.
Yeah. All right. Fine. No. Don't bother commenting then.
But anyway, the Spoonie experiment can still be funny. It really can.
That's good. I remember he did that series on Slab Hard Meat. The guy from Space Mutiny.
Yeah, Reb Brown.
Reb Brown, yeah. And he did like – Reb Brown did this really awful like post-war rape movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just
strange. Why was this movie made? And he did this really funny, he covered an episode of Miami Vice where Reb Brown was on the episode as a guest. And it was so funny how it turned in, the whole episode is featuring Reb Brown and Sonny and Crockett are barely even in the episode. And
Reb Brown was Captain America, man.
Hell yeah. Freaking Captain America. But you should watch the Massacre at Central High one. It's pretty funny.
All right, I'll check it out. I'm glad that he's still pumping stuff out. Good for him.
God bless him. That's all I'm saying. And,
yeah.
Everybody should just do what they want to do in life. And, hey, if you can make a living at it, Godspeed. That's what I say. Okay, Steven? So take that with you. Huh?
I'd love to do that. Just don't make fun of me.
Oh, no.
We never make fun of Steven.
No.
I'd spend that $4,000 a month and track you down.
I hope he's saving some of that money because it never lasts.
Well, also, you know, taxes, man, out the ass on something.
Oh, yeah. You have to be very careful with that stuff because I'm sure Patreon doesn't hold it.
Right. So. It's up to you, man. And if you're making, say you're making $5,000 a month and then all of a sudden you spend all of it and then you're just like, oh, I owe how much? I'm
Yeah.
Yeah. When I first started doing my job, I was a contractor. They didn't hold taxes out. So I.
Did you have to learn the hard way or did
no,
you do
no,
it
no.
right away?
I knew up front. So I saved money.
Well, the story would be more interesting if you said spent it all. And then
I was smart.
You owed like $15,000 for the government. And
remember, I wasn't a kid when I started doing this either.
I'm just saying the story would be better if that's the way it was.
If I was 20, I probably would have been in trouble.
Yeah, I know I wouldn't.
Mom, Dad, did you pay my taxes this year? Well, how much do you owe?
$60,000.
your son, you're going to prison. Oh, man. The hell? Bunch of horse shit is that?
How much did you make?
Damn, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, $60,000? Jesus.
No, I said six.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought you said 60.
No.
Dude, I can tell my back is bruised, by the way, when I backed into that mirror. That's why I brought it up, because I was like, man, my back hurts. Why does it hurt? Oh, yeah, that killer squirrel. Try to murder me, man.
So now we need to watch out for killer squirrels in Arlington.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It wanted something.
It wanted your soul.
I was going to go somewhere else.
I want your soul! What's that, Steven?
Nothing. Never mind. Continue on.
Well, what did you say?
I said nothing.
Now I'm curious.
Yeah, what did you say, Steven?
I said nothing. I said I was going to go somewhere and I stopped.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
You figure out what I was going to say. It was not nice.
I know we haven't seen any of the Oscar-nominated films. I know that, guys.
But we can still speculate like the best of them.
Just all I want to know is your picks for Best Picture.
It's going to be Boyhood.
You think so?
Yeah. Boyhood isn't going to get... it's not going to get...
Well, could you see it not being winning Best Picture, but Richard Linklater winning Best Director? You know how they
do it sometimes? Yeah, I could, but Best Director... I have to look and see what the nominations are, because I don't think he's going to get Best Director.
Really?
Or maybe I think Birdman is definitely going to get Best Cinematography. I know that. That's just a given.
Have you seen that?
Parts of it.
I've seen that one.
That's the best Birdman,
you know what,
by the way.
Since you've seen the film, I've read some people, not just a few people, but they were like, it has the most annoying soundtrack of a film. Is that true? What is it about the soundtrack? I've heard it's just drumming. Like drums or something?
Honestly, you didn't
notice?
No,
Oh, okay.
It was so good, he didn't notice it.
Yeah, Steven was totally into it.
Yeah, didn't bother me.
Didn't bother you?
No.
I honestly think Boyhood is going to win Best Picture. Because I'm looking at the nominations, and American Sniper doesn't have a chance in hell. Because we have to look at these like we're all 80-year-old white men. And what they would vote for.
What was the other movies?
All right. We have American Sniper, Birdman, or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. Oh, I watched The Theory of Everything.
I saw Grand Budapest, too.
Yeah, and I saw Grand Budapest Hotel also.
So what did you think of The Theory of Everything?
The Theory of Everything was pretty basic for a glowing biopic of a very strange man in a strange life. You know, I mean, it was about as... It felt way too amicable. Like, these people, how do they get along so well? And they're English, but...
Eddie Redmayne pretty awesome in it, though.
He wasn't bad, but there were times where he was pushing it a little hard.
Jupiter Ascending?
Oh, Jupiter Ascending, he wins hand down. He was Balaam. Yeah, Natalie just realized that Stephen Hawking was Balaam in Jupiter Ascending. Her eyes just went wide. Yeah, he was awesome in that. I loved him in that. Much more than in The Theory of Everything.
Let's talk about that. You didn't get to talk about... we'll get to that in a minute. So let's go through the other nominees real quick. I just want to pick something and be right and be like, yes, even though I didn't see it, I picked this.
I mean, when you look at the nominations, Boyhood's got it locked. It's won.
Having not even seen the film, I really think that it will win. I think that Eddie Redmayne will probably win best. Or is he in the same category as Michael Keaton, by the way?
He is, and Michael Keaton's going to win that son of a bitch. He better win it.
I want him to.
I want him to win it desperately. Steve Carell and Foxcatcher, I guess it's okay, but Foxcatcher had a lot of really big issues with the people that were actually involved with the... Foxcatcher training
films,
ranch.
Kind of like the Eddie Redmayne movies. I heard what I read is great performance, movie not that great. It's good movie. It's okay, but
It's perfectly acceptable. There's moments where you're like, wow, that's really well done, or wow, you know, this guy really went through a ton of shit to get where he is, and look how he's still around, even though he was told he would probably be dead within 2 years of his diagnosis. I heard that the imitation, I've heard good and bad about the imitation game. Benedict Cumberbatch is always good in whatever he does. But again, the imitation game is one of those, not so subtle biopics that kind of don't let you feel the film, but kind of tells you how you're supposed to feel. You know, it's a little too, hammer in the point that this guy was, persecuted unfairly and went through a horrific experience. And they just, they're a little too, they embellish it a little too much from what I've read. Right. An American Sniper, I just have it zero just, interest in
it
seeing.
It really, when we talk about these movies and we're like, I read this, I read that. It's really sad we haven't seen
it. We're totally speculating. Yeah.
We're doing what I hate when I read other people speculating. You know, it's
we
like,
are.
What
we are.
Heard.
But I'm not going to, I'm not saying that's the fact. I'm just saying this is what I've heard.
Yeah, I know. Cause but I'm the same way, you know.
But I did see Theory of Everything. I enjoyed it, but it was kind of par for the course when it comes to a biopic.
It's what's funny about these films is that I have to go by which ones I want to see, but mm-hmm. Do you really want to see them that bad, Jason? Because you still haven't seen them yet.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's been the conundrum with all the Oscar nominations.
Yeah, what were last year's nominees? I'm going to tell you how many I've seen since last year.
Okay, let me look here. I wonder if they'll tell you from last year. What was the 86th Academy Award nominations? Best Picture nominations were 12 Years a Slave.
Still haven't seen it.
Don't. and I'm not saying that's because it's bad or anything. It's just freaking
depressing.
Brutal. It is. I had to go on Walkabout after I watched it. And, it's just not a fun film. American Hustle.
Seen it.
Yeah, it was okay.
Seen it.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't.
I liked it. I mean, it's, David O. Russell making a Martin Scorsese movie.
That's exactly what it is. It is David O. Russell. I mean, from even those long tracking shots where someone walks into the room.
Yeah.
And
it's
follows
almost,
them through the entire room. I was like, where have I seen this
it's
before?
It's a love letter to Scorsese. But you know what? Silver Linings Playbook, I've watched that many times, like whenever it's on TV. I do love that movie.
Maybe. Do you? I had a really difficult time with that film.
I love it. I am like Bradley Cooper in that movie. In real life.
Oh,
I have moments where I go insane like that. And I'm like, hey, this is about me.
Yeah, I like that one. That was a good movie.
Where's the wedding video? Where's my wedding video? It's like, oh shit, what the? See, I'm like that too, you know. Where is the effing remote? I can't find it. I gotta change the channel. Give me the remote. Where is it? It was right here. It's like, oh shit, he's having an episode.
He snapped.
No, but yeah, I've watched that movie many times and I always get choked up at the end, so. But what were the other nominees besides American Hustle?
Captain Phillips.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah, I didn't. I own it, and I haven't seen it.
I'm the captain now. I know that part, though.
You're Somali. I'm the captain now. Dallas Buyers Club.
Still haven't seen it.
I've seen it. Okay film. Kind of one of those films that kind of makes you furious by the end of it. Just because of how screwed up our, you know, the health industry is.
All right.
Gravity, saw that multiple times.
Saw it in the movie theater, yeah!
Her, I watch it every time I see it on HBO.
I have seen that, yes.
I haven't seen it yet, I have it recorded.
Oh, good, yeah. It's a really...
DVR'd.
He has it on a VHS tape.
It's a really good film, you guys. I once ate a sandwich with Joaquin Phoenix.
I, too, think I have my own personal OS.
I once fell in love with my artificial intelligence.
It happens to be my wife right now, my sweet Twinkie, or whatever the hell she's called. I can't remember. He always has his pet name for her.
He has worse haters than Spoonie, though.
Oh, yeah, but his are deserved. I mean, he's just such a sycophant.
I've never gone on to a comment board and commented, just so you guys know, okay?
Yeah, I don't have that in me. I can't do that.
You know what? You suck. Anonymous.
It's too much effort. Like I said, it's too much effort. If I dislike someone...
I sometimes when someone comments on something on Facebook that's my friends, I almost like, no, you know.
Yeah.
Do not comment, Jason.
I'll see those like comment fights on friends, walls. And I kind of shake my head. It's like, can't
do
get
not
pulled
comment.
Into that shit.
Yeah.
Like it's just not worth my energy. All right, next we had Nebraska, which I still haven't seen.
It's on Netflix, though, if we ever want to watch it. It'll be there a year. I'll get to it.
Yeah, Philomena, I've seen that.
Philomena.
Philomena.
I did that joke last year.
Really good guy. Good guy, Philomena.
Philomena.
That's another one of those movies that's incredibly depressing because it exposes this entire... period of time in, I think it was Ireland.
Ireland
I want to say it
yeah.
was Ireland, where the orphanages would do like these mass burials of unwanted children.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. It's a feel good film.
That's depressing.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking, what the Catholic Church did to a lot of these orphans. So, yeah, a lot of fun, that film. And
it's
Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, I have seen the Wolf of Wall Street, but I love the Wharf of Starfleet better.
Wolf of Starfleet is my favorite.
I did like the Wolf of Wall Street because it's just batshit nuts.
Yeah.
I can never get Heather to watch it though, but it's an entertaining film, man.
It's one of those films, it kind of reminded me of The Sopranos in a way that you get to know these people and
they
endear themselves to you and they are the worst people on earth.
They are despicable, yeah. And, there are moments in the film that are so goddamn funny though.
Yeah.
I still, that part where they, Jonah Hill and, you know, Leo, they love,
I know exactly what you're gonna say.
They love Quaaludes. And they don't make Quaaludes anymore. They're, you know, you can't find them anywhere. But Jonah Hill's like, hey, look what I found. And it's this certain kind of Quaalude that was very potent. And they're like, holy shit. And they both take one. And like, I don't know, like 30 minutes past, they're like, dude, I'm feeling nothing. Come on, let's take another one. They're probably old and don't work as well. So I'll take another one. And I think, don't they take like three? I think.
Yeah.
Finally, he's like, dude, this isn't doing shit to me. And he takes a third one. And there's all of a sudden a moment where he has to like take a step and all of a sudden everything goes like, he's like, I can't talk anymore. It's like so funny. And there's a sequence where he drives this Lamborghini and he has to get in his car. He's trying to get in his Lamborghini. And I swear the scene lasts like 15 minutes of him trying to get into his car. And I had tears in my eyes. I was laughing so hard. And finally he gets in and he goes, and drives home. And he goes, remarkably, I got home without a scratch on her. And then, you know, he goes in the house. And the cops show up and they're like, excuse me, sir, do you own the Lamborghini outside? He's like, yeah, why? And he goes, could you come here? And he's like trying to walk out there. And you see that not only is his car totaled with steam coming out of it, he hit every single thing he could possibly hit on the way home. He hit every single car in the parking lot. He hit every bush, every sign. It's just so funny. But he was like, remarkably, I got home without a scratch on it. It is so funny. And yes, he's a despicable person. But man, it's a really good movie.
Yeah, it is good.
It should have won Best Picture, man, but they couldn't give it to a movie. There's no heroes in this movie.
No. Yeah. And it's not politically acceptable.
So I guess I have seen quite a few films from last year, I guess. So
yeah. And plus, it's kind of easy now that they nominate 8 films. When it was just five.
Out of all the nominees, I would say I want to watch Boyhood.
Yeah, I really need to get around to watching Boyhood.
I could watch the Wes Anderson film.
You haven't seen that yet.
Because it's on the DVR. It came on HBO when we recorded it.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
We taped it on the VHS.
Did you tape it in SP mode, though? Because it's going to look better.
SLP. Yeah. I got SLP. Not only that movie, but I also recorded Shaft with Samuel L. Jackson.
Tracking
Jackson. I couldn't think of anything. I was just like, Shaft.
Tracking Jackson.
Shaft.
Yeah.
By the way, I have never seen that film. I remember one time Heather was watching that, and I go, why are you watching this? She goes, Christian Bale's in it. I was like, okay, that explains
Christian Bale's in Shaft?
Christian Bale
Jackson?
Is the villain in Shaft.
Oh, damn.
The Shaft remake. Damn right. Shut your mouth.
I think I need to watch that now.
Ba-da-dum, 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 bum. I always love the way the guitar sounded in there, Steven. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Bill, I don't even want to ask this, but I know you haven't had time to play any video games lately, right?
I've been messing around here and there, but nothing fully invested. I really want to play Evolve horribly, awfully bad.
Is Evolve out where you can buy it?
Yeah, it's been out for like 2 weeks now.
Shit, I didn't even know it was like out.
Yeah, it's out. And it's got great reviews. It looks insane. It's just a massive amount of fun. I really want to play that. And every time I go into Best Buy, I pick up that Toad treasure tracker for the Wii U. Where it's kind of like a puzzle game with Toad based in the Mario universe. And I really want to play that also. But, there's so many games. And I know that the Order 1886, I believe, came out also. That PS4 exclusive.
You know what Emma wants for her birthday is something called Pokemon Art Academy.
Pokemon Art Academy?
Yeah, I've got to figure out what that is.
You know, I thought it was funny. I have Monument Valley on my Android tablet.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
And Natalie just, I handed it to her one day, and she became totally obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. Like, she finished the game, then she did the downloadable content.
Yeah, there's like a more level. Emma has already finished that too.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous game, and I love those kind of mysterious storytelling games.
Yeah, it's a piece of art. It really is.
Yeah, it's insanely beautiful the way they work with like the whole M.C. Escher and perspective, and every time I see her playing it, I smile. It looks like a blast. I've only played like the first couple levels, and I was like, wow, this is really, really interesting. Like, who came up with this?
It's very like. It's got this mood to it, you know?
Yeah, it kind of reminded me, I was telling Natalie earlier that, like, about Limbo, on,
with a little silhouette kid.
Yeah, with the silhouette kid. And then, you remember that game Braid, the one that used, time manipulation and, there's like a whole series of those thoughtful indie games.
Games where the guy who made it is an idiot savant or something.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it.
I have no idea, but I'm just saying that. Oh, I see. Pokemon Art Academy, you lessons, drawing tools, and you can basically draw Pokemon characters with your stylus. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. I know the new 3DS came out, and it's like supposedly a better screen. It's got more power. I don't know. I know it's just they've improved on the 3DS, but instead of calling it like, giving it a new name, they literally call it New Nintendo 3DS.
Huh.
Yeah. So I was looking at that today, kind of drooling over it.
Bill, I'm going to read you the story and get your immediate reaction.
Okay.
Okay, I have no idea. This is one of those stories that we're going to see on every website, yeah. Just so you guys know. In fact, it already has been on every website.
Right, right.
But this is like, this story came out today on Comic Book Resources, okay? Steven Spielberg reportedly hopes to direct Chris Pratt-starred Indiana Jones reboot. What do you think? After seeing him in Guardians of the Galaxy, what do you think?
Why not?
It fit, yeah.
I think it would work, as long as it's not a reboot. Maybe they could just recast the Mutt character.
Like, don't remake...
You don't have to redo Temple of Doom.
Do not remake Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Do not make Raiders.
Yeah.
I'm saying right there. You don't have to do that. Go after another... some kind of mysterious object or...
Does he have to be Indiana Jones?
I can't think of anything. Steven Spielberg has directed all four Indiana Jones movies. Well, thank you, Story.
Did he really direct Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull? I'm convinced he did not direct it.
He ghost directed it.
Amid widespread recent reports that a reboot is in the works, potentially starring Guardians of the Galaxy and Jurassic Park World's Chris Pratt. Oh, is that who he is? The entertainment industry news outlet has word that legendary director hopes to be behind the camera, according to the site's sources. Steven Spielberg
directed such films. Why would he hope to be behind the camera of a character that he basically... I'm sorry.
Whoa, Steven, look, there's like a weird little millipede on the ground or something. Check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Trippy.
Oh, I thought you were going to hit Steven over the head with something. Hey, look at that.
It also says, of course, this is still very preliminary. Pratt has not been officially announced. Oh, okay. You mean this is a clickbait? I clicked on your story and none of it is true. You bastards. This is bullshit.
So they just entirely made, where was the source? What was the idea? Did somebody just make this up?
They said, Deadline reports, Steven Spielberg hopes to direct Chris Pratt and Indiana Jones. So they basically just read the Deadline story and then credited it and then went from there.
Oh.
My favorite part of
bizarre.
The story is when they tell us who Steven Spielberg is. Director of such films as E.T. and Close Encounters.
I had no idea.
Has he done anything else?
Director of Duel in 1941.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, perfect.
You know what's funny? On last Saturday was Valentine's Day. And we were thinking, what could we do for Valentine's Day? Like, we wanted to include Emma. It wasn't going to be just me and Heather going on a date or anything. So we went to Mellow Mushroom for dinner. And then we came home and I go, you guys know what we haven't watched since I got it for Christmas? Guardians of the Galaxy. So we all watched Guardians of the Galaxy and made some popcorn. It was pretty awesome. You know, Bill, you and I saw the movie 3 times while you're here, but they've only seen it the 1 time, so.
Oh, they only saw it the 1 time that we all went to see it.
Yeah, so it was cool watching them watch the movie again, you know?
Yeah, I loved sitting next to Emma and her just totally digging it the entire time.
Yeah, that part at the end with Groot always gets her. You know?
God, I love that.
We are Groot.
I really need to watch that again.
Tears shoot out my eyes from that scene, Steven. Steven, we are Groot.
We are
Groot. We're all Groot. Together.
So, yeah, that's the non-story this week. So, last week it was the Neil Blomkamp. So, next week, when they make it official, Chris Pratt is Indiana Jones. Let me ask you guys this. It's a serious question. Could you go the rest of your lives without another Indiana Jones film?
Absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah, the first, the Raiders Lost Ark and Temple Doom are fine. You know, I could have even been without The Last Crusade.
Well, do you think Steven Spielberg's like, wait, Disney now has this and I don't have to go through George? Awesome, I'll do another one.
Yeah, oh no, I don't doubt that one bit. I don't doubt that at all.
Well, what is, when, Harrison Ford sees this story, he's like, what the hell? I'm out.
Well, that's the new story, that I've read on like 3 different blogs that, Harrison Ford is going to get his wish in the new Star Wars film. That he is going to die. You know,
no!
And it's like, wow. Yeah, it's like, can you guys just calm down? Like, can we just watch the film? Why does everyone have to immediately go there?
By the way, guys, 300 days until Star Wars. 300 days.
I can't wait. And I was just reading today that J.J. Abrams in an interview was like, I can't wait for Star Wars Celebration because we're going to open it up in a big way. And I'm thinking he's going to do like the full story reveal at Celebration.
Okay,
and,
guys, here's what happens at the end. No, he spoiled it.
I've pre-bought my tickets online. I don't know about you guys.
What, for the film?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because I Natalie
I
and
like,
I actually
you
bought
have Steven. I was like, oh wait, he's joking. I was like, yeah, Steven's a big enough nerd to have done that.
Yeah, I totally believed him.
It's R2 unit has a bad motivator. Look,
Steven has a bad motivator. Totally. I'm excited about Star Wars, but no, I don't want any spoilers. I don't want to look and see everything before I see the movie.
I thought it was a really interesting reply from J.J. Abrams, who said that he's kind of flattered by the spoilers that people are saying because, you know, he knows people really want to see the film. But it's hard to control any of that information flow, and a lot of them are bullshit.
He's full of shit. He wants to say, they annoy the shit.
Oh, you know he does.
He goes, you think Spoonie's commenters are bad? Do you know how many people, like, talking to me about my friggin',
hate me for Star Trek? They hate me for this?
Yeah. Oh, God forbid.
I made Star Trek entertaining. God forbid that happens.
Well, you know what he's always going to hear about is the friggin', I can't even remember what it's called. Why can't I remember what it's called?
I don't know.
Steven.
What are you trying to...
J.J. Abrams trademark in movies.
Oh, Bad Robot?
Oh, the lens flare.
Lens flare. That's it. I couldn't think of the name lens flare.
Jeez.
I kept thinking, it's not shaky cam. Oh, yeah, lens flare. But, you know, the amount of comments that he gets about lens flare,
it's probably
enough to turn off the comments to any story he does.
Yeah, I'm sure he just avoids that shit in general.
Yeah, big time. He's like, I'm really flattered. Oh, bullshit.
Yeah, that's the kindest answer anyone could give, is I'm really flattered.
I'm flattered you guys are guessing at what I do.
I'm flattered you're all massive assholes.
Come on, that's a bunch of horse shit.
Sure is. Okay, Bill, so, hey, do you want to do some DVDs this week?
Yeah, let's do some DVDs.
Well, let's take a quick break just because I need to for a moment. Nothing bad. I just, I need to take a break for a second. And then when we come back, we'll do some DVDs. What do you say?
Let's do them. We'll do it whenever we get back, that is.
All right, guys. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Is your cold medicine complete?
Guess not. I took my regular cold medicine, but it's not helping this achy feeling. And I still have this nagging cough.
Next time, try Co-Tylenol. It's complete cold medicine with the decongestant for stuffy heads, an antihistamine for runny noses, a cough suppressant, and a pain reliever. Co-Tylenol.
Now that's what a cold medicine's supposed to do. Co-Tylenol made me feel better all over. Myself.
Co-Tylenol, complete cold medicine to relieve your complete cold.
I was worried about my hair because I participate in a lot of sports. I have to shampoo every day. And a lot of times I'll shampoo 2-3 times a day. And I worried till I used my daughter's Johnson's baby shampoo.
No other shampoo has Johnson's unique formula. It combines thorough cleaning with extra gentleness. It's gentle enough to use every day.
My hair feels clean using Johnson's baby shampoo, and it feels healthy. And those are the important things to me. So, hey, I think I'm doing the right thing for my hair.
His Royal Highness, the Prince.
Standing on receiving lines takes its toll, and it takes time.
Gentlemen,
but you could take a different view, because you might meet a prince or two.
Gentlemen,
walking, running, standing on your feet for hours, we're Hanes Alive, the beautiful sheer support.
And when that prince is someone who really wants to be with you,
gentlemen prefer Hanes and eye-catching fashion colors, too.
Oh, my kitty cat craves trade.
cats dream up new ways to make sure they get Crave. That's because Crave dry cat food is made with real chicken, real milk, and real tuna protein. Crave, with the real protein-rich foods cats crave.
My kitty cat craves Crave.
The Stop in their tracks.
Purina Chuck Wagon brand dog food.
Stop in their tracks.
Some people don't really expect a lot from a checking account. They just want to write checks. On the other hand, a lot of people want a checking account that also earns interest on their checking balance. But say you want a checking account that has even more value. One that also lets you cash checks up to $200 at most Sears stores across the country. There's only one place where you can find all that. Sears Savings Bank, a new name for Allstate Savings, and a new name for value in banking.
For every woman whose microwave cookware is too hot to handle, Rubbermaid makes cookware that keeps it cool. For every woman who's baffled by those food keepers you can't see through, Rubbermaid clears things up. You can buy something less than Rubbermaid, but then you won't get something made like Rubbermaid. Don't you wish everything was made like Rubbermaid?
Finally, you can be more carefree, even a little sloppy, painting windows. All because of new Glass Mask from Wagner. Glass Mask is a liquid that glides on easy as that. And when you're done painting, glides right off. So you needn't worry about a little slip-up here and there. New Wagner Glass Mask. And for masking everything else, Wagner Mask It.
Tuesday on the A-Team. Face falls in love with a beauty queen, but someone wants her dead.
We gotta go in and get her out.
But can they?
You kidding me, sucker?
The A-Team. Then from London, Bernadette Peters, Chevy Chase, Brooke Shields, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, Crystal Gayle, and Duran Duran in a birthday bash for Bob Hope, Tuesday.
Remember me? I didn't know what to do. What do you do when 63 kids need a good meal? Even dedicated mothers like me need a break.
Who you gonna turn to?
These days, I turn to the Colonel for fresh cooked tender chicken with all the fixings.
Who you gonna turn to? Who you gonna turn to?
Do you live here?
No, but Bobby says you're having Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, beef, chicken, rice.
What do you mean I can't use your toothpaste?
It's just for kids, Dad.
It's new Aquafresh for kids. It's easier to pump, has a no-mess top, and Tom really loves brushing now.
Maximum fluoride protection to fight cavities. Gentle cleaners for young teeth. And a zingy new taste kids prefer.
He loves the see-through pump.
Accepted by the American Dental Association. New Aquafresh for kids. It's a complete toothpaste kids love.
This week, Bedroom Waterbeds is having a moving sale. And you'll save up to 60% off waterbeds at all 8 bedroom locations. Get a move on.
What can $1.49 buy today?
Well, something like this.
Okay, what else?
Or this. Isn't that the Chicken Supreme from Jack in the Box?
You mean, for $1.49, I can get juicy white meat chicken. 2 kinds of cheese with lettuce and tomato on a wheat bun. How do I get my hands on one?
Walk this way. But hurry, this offer ends June 9th.
The Chicken Supreme, just $1.49 now at Jack in the Box.
Don't settle for walking.
I got my license to eat. You know who gave it to me? Wendy's. Wendy's has a new light menu. Hundreds of lower calorie salads with new fresh fruit and pasta salads. Wendy's new light menu even has a lower calorie multigrain bun. Thanks to Wendy's light menu, I've got a license to eat.
Try Wendy's new light menu.
Hello, I'm looking for some lightweight, soft-sided luggage.
May I point out features that should be checked carefully, like the zipper, the handle?
Very sturdy.
Now look at the construction. Of course, the wheels should operate smoothly.
I'll take the Samsonite.
Excellent.
Or just look for this feature, and you'll be assured it has all the others.
We're Beatrice.
This ever happened to you? You get your car repaired. Then one day you have to bring it back again for the same repair and pay for it again. But not here. Not at participating Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers who offer the lifetime service guarantee. You pay for a covered repair once, never again. If it ever has to be fixed again, the repairing dealer will fix it free, parts and labor. Get all the details in the current issues of these weekly magazines. Lifetime service guarantee, only at these signs.
May I take your order?
I'd like a
Big Mac value pack. Make it two, please.
Hey, what's that?
It's their new value pack. See? You get a large Coke, a Big Mac, and a super-sized fry with 30% more. All for just $2.59.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, easy to handle. And did you know this great offer for Big Mac value pack is for a limited time only?
I didn't know that.
I know. That's why I'm Gerzo, Senor Son.
Double, double your refreshments. Double, double your enjoyment. Oh, no, single gum, double freshens your mouth like double mint gum. Double, double your refreshments. Double, double your delight. Oh, no, single gum, double freshens your mouth like double fresh, double good. Come on and double mint gum.
There's no single gum like.
Donuts. Time to make the donuts.
Great donut makers aren't born. They're made.
Today, my son, the secrets of the perfect donut. Knead and roll. Knead and roll. Always be generous. And always make them fresh.
Hi, Freddy!
It's dedication that pays off in the freshest, most delicious donuts you've ever tasted.
Someday, young Frederick, you'll thank me for these lessons.
What's the secret of saving your lips from the wind?
My lips are sealed with chapstick.
What stops the cold from letting the chapstick begin?
My lips are sealed with chapstick.
With chapstick lip balm, your lips are sealed. Sealed against chapping, drying, and cracking in any weather, any time of year.
My lips are sealed with chapstick.
And now there's a creamy way to treat chapped lips. Lip Soother Medicated Lip Cream from Chapstick.
Big news. There's a brand new supermarket that gives you what none of the four biggest in Dallas-Fort Worth can. A lower total food bill. Lower than Kroger. Lower than Safeway. Lower than Tom Thumb. And lower than Skaggs Alpha Beta. In fact, Albertson's prices are so low every day, they don't even have to run newspaper specials. Albertson's, now open in Bedford, Richardson, and Plano.
It's funny too. Hey everyone, we're back. I am the Jason, and we're doing the show. And Bill, are you back, sir?
I am back.
All right. You know what was funny is that, do you remember back when I revealed what the original, like, this is what the DVD song is, everybody?
Yes.
Nobody said a thing. Nobody gave a shit.
Really?
Nobody said anything.
That's terrible.
I know. What the hell?
Uncaring bastards, the lot of them.
Yeah. If we were spoony, we would have gotten a reaction.
They had known from the beginning that we were ripping off Degrassi.
That's Degrassi. You're a con artist. It's like, what?
You know what? I bet you if we were as popular as that, we would be going through that exact thing.
New Jersey con man. What? I'm from... Not from... What? Well, guys, you want to do some DVDs, huh?
Yeah, let's do them.
All right, Steven, we haven't done the song in a while. You think you can do it?
I can do it.
All right, let's do
the words.
What do you say, Steven, that we do some DVDs?
Ow! Let's do some DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs!
Woohoo! The DVDs, everyone!
Hicks.
What? Huxton and Hicks? What's going on? Alright, that was a train wreck.
And I definitely want to see the Neil Blomkamp film with Hudson instead of Hicks.
Me too. I mean, dude! Hudson was awesome.
Game over, man.
That is still some of the coolest...
It's the whole Hudson movie, Hudson going through boot camp.
That wasn't funny, man.
Yeah, you mean a prequel?
Yeah.
There's no aliens involved. It's just Hudson and Basic.
I want a film of all of Bill Paxton's characters. Like, just Hudson, Chet. The used car salesman from True Lies.
The guy from Frailty.
No, the guy from, oh my God, oh my Jesus God, the guy from Frailty. Oh, that was one of those movies I watched and I was like, what the Sam Hill is this?
I got a little dick, it's pathetic.
Yeah.
I love Bill Paxton.
The vampire from After Dark.
He
or Near
great,
Dark,
by
sorry.
The way, in Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, God, yes. God, it was such a great role for him in that film.
Totally.
All right. I didn't know this happened, but it happens pretty regularly for Blu-rays, and this is for February 24th, 2015. They are releasing every freaking college football bowl game on Blu-ray.
Why?
Yeah, exactly. Sugar Bowl, Capital One Orange Bowl, Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, Goodyear Cotton Bowl, National Championship Blu-ray. It's just like, wait, what? Why?
A ball buster.
But apparently there's a market for it, so you too can now own the 2015 Vizio Fiesta Bowl on Blu-ray.
Well, I was going to say, isn't all that on YouTube or something?
It's gotta be. I don't get it. Okay, starting with the Kino Video's release of 52 Pickup.
Oh, is that the Roy Scheider movie?
It is the Roy Scheider movie. Roy Scheider and Anne Margaret.
I've seen that. That's based on is that an Elmore Leonard book?
Yeah, Harry Mitchell is the character. Yeah. I believe it is an Elmore Leonard book. It looks beautiful.
I've seen the film, but I can't remember. Seen it once. I don't remember if I liked it or not. I honestly don't think it registered with me at all. It was probably something my dad made me watch and I was resentful.
It's one of those, like, 80s John Frankenheimer films.
John Frankenheimer Schmidt.
Yeah. His friend is my friend too. And it's, of course, what 80s movie is complete without Vanity in it?
Oh, hell yeah. Action Jackson.
Yes.
And is that it?
Yeah, I only ever, and the reason why I remember 52 Pickup is because there's a scene, I think it was in a whorehouse that Vanity's in, and she wears like this see-through bra.
Get in truck.
I think everyone is wearing something see-through in it. And I was like, it's 1986, I'm 7 years old, and I'm seeing naked ladies. It's like watching the Sears catalog in action. But, yeah, 52 Pickup, man.
That's a, you know, when you throw all the cards in the air, Steven, that's 52 Pickup. Mm-hmm. That's trivia for you.
Next, we have Lionsgate's Blu-ray release of Basic Instinct.
All right, Basic Instinct, huh? Bill, that had some nudity in it, huh?
Yeah, that was one of those movies I remember actually going to the video store to rent, because I was like, hey, Sharon Stone, nudity.
Well, I promised my mom I'd be home for dinner.
Yeah.
That's who my voice reminded me of, is Shirts.
Oh, totally. It's totally Shirts.
I remember seeing Basic Instinct several times, and it wasn't because of the sexual titillation or anything. I actually thought, I'm serious. Nothing about that movie I thought was a turn on. It was the way it was filmed or something, Paul Verhoeven. But Michael Douglas's performance cracks me up in that movie.
Oh yeah, it's hilarious.
He's so like over the top. And I remember there's this one part that I would try to do an impression of where he goes like, "What is this?" Like really quiet like that. "What is this? Some kind of a joke?" And he erupts, and it's kind of like Eddie Redmayne in Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, it's Michael Douglas's Vampire's Kiss. You know, it's over the top. It's ridiculous.
He's great in it, man.
Yeah. Unlike Nicolas Cage, who just isn't great in Vampire's Kiss. Moving on, we have Big Hero 6.
How do you like how that shit works?
You know, I really genuinely like that movie. And I think one of the things that I really liked about it, because I was thinking about this when I saw the commercial, you know, first of all, Baymax is lovable, but I love the whole idea of, I mean, if you think about it, this is a kid's movie, but someone dies in it and the main character is trying to get over, it's trying to grieve. And,
that's a main, thread in the film is dealing, how do you deal with grief?
Yeah, and that there's a part that's very touching in the film, and I thought it was cool. And also the birth of like a superhero team and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I want to get that for Emma for her birthday. Okay, just so she can't hear anything.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and this is one of those films, of course, because it's a big release. You've got your Best Buy exclusive. Your Target exclusive Steelbook, which is gorgeous. I'll get it at Target because the Steelbook is stunning.
Is it on 3D?
No.
It's not in 3D?
It does not include the 3D.
Oh, bitchin', is this in 3D?
No, but your face is.
Can I get it
in 3D anywhere, Bill?
I do not see any edition with 3D.
Oh, that's neat. It's gonna be 3D.
I think it's another one of those Disney things.
What about in the UK?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be like Frozen, where you can probably get it in 3D from the UK. In fact, I'm going to look at that right now. All right, Amazon. Oh, Amazon CO.UK. Because I'm looking here and I see absolutely zero 3D releases on the American. Here it is. Big Hero 6, Blu-ray 3D and Blu-ray, UK.
Oh, because I see here on ABS forum, you know, because I love when people misspell things or they get things wrong. Big Hero 6, February 24th, USA release, but where is the 3D?
Yeah.
Where is it?
It looks like, just like Frozen, I will be importing Big Hero 6 from the UK.
Is it available in the UK yet?
No, not yet. It doesn't even have I don't think it has a release date yet in the UK, but it will be released in Blu-ray 3D and Blu-ray.
No, Spunky, this is my corn dog.
I don't get what the deal is. It's like Disney wants you to buy it, and then there's an option to order the 3D version from them.
Like in the US, you can order it from them?
Yeah.
What the hell, man?
It's really screwy.
I don't understand.
Yep, I'll probably get the Target Steelbook from Target, and then
Is it because 3D's fallen out of favor or something?
It seems at least with Disney, it's falling out of favor.
bastards. Because the only reason I say that is that the film was gorgeous in 3D, you know? And that's, you want those 3D type of Sigabukus, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you want that experience. It's really well done, and it's gorgeous.
It's
I just don't
digital animated movies that look the best in 3D.
Yeah, they. I mean, they're when you think about it, they're made in 3D. Everything is a three-dimensional render. So I don't get it. I can't explain it. It's ridiculous. It's infuriating and irritating.
It pisses me off, man.
Yeah, so if you want it in 3D, pre-order it from the UK.
Oh, I'm pissed off.
Here's another 80s film coming on Blu-ray this week. We have Dangerously Close.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That is that John Stockwell movie. Do you remember that?
Yep, directed by Albert Pune.
Does Albert Pyun direct that?
Pyun? Is it Pyun?
I've always said Pyun. I have no idea.
I've always said Pyun. Pyun.
Oh my God! Wow! Wow! Oh my God!
Wait, that's Johnny Dangerously, not Dangerously Close. But I remember watching that film on cable, or watching that repeatedly on cable, and it's...
Yeah.
It's not very good. I don't know why.
No, it's not a good movie.
Why did I watch it repeatedly,
Dangerously
Steven?
Dangerously Close?
It's kind of like Massacre at Central High, where it's like these group of teenage guys. They're supposed to be teenagers. When you watch the film, they're like, these dudes are in their 30s.
Yeah, I love the poster art from it, where it says at Vista High, someone who stepped out of line never walked again.
Oh my God. Where it's like they're like these preppy guys or jocks, but they're also like, they wear masks and they have crossbows and they try to set people straight who are bad, and the one nerdy guy's trying to expose them for what they are and stuff. And you think
that
they killed his friend the whole movie, but at the very end, I'm going to spoil it for everybody. His friend just left town because he couldn't take the hash, you know.
No!
So he's not even dead.
That's terrible. I can't believe that.
Did I ruin the movie for you?
No, I can't watch it.
You did.
By the way, John Stockwell, who was in that film, he was also in Christine, the Stephen King movie John Carpenter directed. He turned to directing, and he directed Into the Blue with the late Paul Walker and Jessica Alba.
Nice. Here's something I had no idea even existed. Dragonheart 3.
Huh?
There were three Dragonhearts?
There was a second one?
There was a second dragon?
No, not Lionheart. Dragonheart. Dragonheart!
Yeah, now I need to find what the hell the second Dragonheart was about.
I would totally watch all those movies if someone just yelled Dragonheart, like really loud in the movie. Wouldn't you? Like they climb to the tower in a castle and they're like, Dragonheart! Or something. I would totally go see that movie.
That's all I need. I just need the title screamed by a character.
Your mom dated a dragon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
For some reason, we're getting a re-release of First Blood on Blu-ray.
I'm coming to get you. All right, First Blood.
Yeah. Yeah, I always liked First Blood Part 2 better, but hey.
Wait, what was the... Oh shit! No, nobody help me.
Are you trying to think of the final screaming scene?
Nothing is over.
Nothing is over.
You can't turn it off.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Yeah, that's it. It's over, Johnny. That's what I was trying to. Oh my God! What happened?
Nothing is over.
It's over, Johnny.
No, Jesus.
It's not over until Brian Dennehy says so.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
See, that was back in the days of the show where I didn't label drops correctly.
Oh, no.
Like, I would have just written Rambo, but the drop is titled It's Over, Johnny. Like, how am I supposed to know, remember that, like, 10 years later, or whatever. Damn it!
All right, next we have Horrible Bosses 2, the extended cut.
Oh.
That's already out?
I thought you were kidding.
Or coming out?
Yep. One movie, you
gonna pick
two
that up?
Cuts.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll pass, thanks.
If I watch it on cable, I watch it.
But I know that Steven is going to pick up the Sons of Anarchy complete gift set.
Riding through this world. Alone. Bill, did you ever watch the final episode?
The Crow Flies Straight. No, I did not.
The Crow Flies Straight. I did. And you know what? It probably would have been meaningful. And I'm not being a dick here at all. You know, I watched the show. I watched it all the way to the end. It would have been more meaningful or something or symbolism if the CGI wasn't so god-awful at the end. There was CGI.
Oh, so the biggest scene, the scene that everyone, you know, that the results big, the series is all CGI'd?
The big climactic scene has piss-poor CGI, and there's... You know, it's like symbolism of the crow flying in the air straight. It's
yeah.
A CGI crow, and it doesn't look good. So,
No.
And I'm not trying to be nitpicky. I'm just kind of like watching. I'm going, yeesh. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, yeesh,
was it at least a perfect line?
A perfect line. Or is it on the devil's bed? Or
yes, on the devil's bed.
Yeah.
All right. Here's something that kind of blew my mind. The Criterion Collection, Watership Down.
Cool.
Yeah. Watership Down's one of those films you see as a kid and it just scars you for life. I'll never forget seeing
the
film for the first time. I think it was like 7 or 8 years old. And you don't realize that, you know, it's this whole dystopian weirdness, rabbits, death, and it is horrifying.
Of course, you know, this means war.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful film. But I love that, Criterion Collection felt it was worthy enough to be completely remastered and presented probably in the best way it has looked since its original release.
I remember it being really bloody and stuff, right? And kind of shocking and...
Oh, yeah. And it's depressing and it's every sort of... sort of awful that you shouldn't see as a child.
Yeah, everything a little kid would want to see.
Yeah, and it says a new high definition digital transfer created from the original 35mm camera negative. The original soundtrack remastered at 24-bit from the 35mm magnetic track. It's pristine.
Whatever happened to Super Bit DVDs, Bill?
Yeah, I know.
Superbits. Do you remember those, Steven?
The Sony Superbits.
I think I have Dracula, the Gary Oldman Dracula in Superbit.
I have, I think I have the Spider-Man films, and I have A Knight's Tale in Superbit.
Nice.
Yeah. Next we have Whiplash on Blu-ray.
Oh, God, my neck. Ugh.
No, not that kind of whiplash. The whiplash.
If you like drums, you should see the movie.
I hope they included the short film on the Blu-ray.
There's a clip from the movie. I would very much like to see the film in high definition Blu-ray.
Yeah, not a 480p screener.
Oh God, the screener, Inherent Vice looks so bad.
I know. I tried watching it and I had to stop.
It looked like I was watching it on the Sega CD.
Yeah. It looked like a full mission.
It looked like
super
video. Sharp quality.
Yeah.
Digitized.
I was waiting to be called dog meat.
Yeah. When I watched this film, I wanted it to look gorgeous. I wanted it to be pristine. You know, I don't want to, like, be like, what am I looking at here?
1,000,000 pounds of tube steak.
Yeah.
And finally, the most important release of the week, or at least just the last, Wild Orchid on Blu-ray.
All right, with Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke and Jacqueline Bisset.
That poor woman who is with them, like, oh, it was like something... Otis, like her.
Carrie Otis, yeah.
Carrie Otis, and I think she actually got in a relationship with Mickey Rourke while filming the movie.
Oh.
Mickey Rourke, and boy, was that a mistake, am I right?
That poor woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But that's Blu-rays and DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week. Thank you very much, sir. It was nice to have you back doing the DVDs.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Now I just need to get used to doing this again because my voice is killing me.
No.
Like my throat.
Thank you. Good night.
Wait, foggy, wait.
My throat feels like it was stabbed with a knife.
Could you say a lozenge?
Yeah, I could use a lozenge.
Or is it shine box ring?
Yeah.
Give
the dog a lozenge.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Yeah, Bill, do you need Grandpa's cough medicine?
As long as it's not a bottle of urine.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see
All right, guys, that was, what would I call this episode?
It's over, Johnny.
There you
it's
go.
It's over.
Oh, okay.
Call it over.
It's over, Johnny. People go, it's the last episode. That's what that means.
Yeah, it's all over.
Really, it's like when Star Trek, The Final Frontier. Well, that's the last Star Trek movie. It's like, no, it was just a cool title for the movie. That's all. It's the last movie William Shatner will be directing, if that's...
Thank God.
All right, everyone, that was ETL Daily Episode 9. Thank you for listening to the show. It was so great to have my buddy Steven and Bill talking film, television, and pop culture. We talked about all sorts of shiznit, didn't we?
Yeah,
we did.
Chris Pratt is going to play Indiana Jones. Yep. Neil Blomkamp's making a new Alien movie with Sigourney Weaver and Bill Paxton. You just gotta keep going with that. People are like,
you know what? I just as an addendum, with the Kingsman thing, Natalie reminded me during the break that while we were watching it, she looked at me and said, this reminds me of the action is kind of like a Stephen Chow film, like Shaolin Soccer. That's the way it's kind of choreographed. So if you enjoy that kind of nutty, balls-out, kinetic sort of action sequences, you will love Kingsman.
Not me, man!
That total, like, kinetic balls-to-the-wall.
Yeah.
Balls-to-the-wall?
Yeah, and I can't even tell you how amazingly well done the action sequences are in that you can follow every move. Like he uses like shift zooms and, the off kilter kind of, what is that called whenever it's the,
Dutch angle.
The Dutch angle. Yeah. He uses all these like camera methods that, kind of elicit different response and use them in different ways. So it's just, I was really kind of blown away by the choreography and the way the camera moved during the scenes.
Cool. I definitely want to see the film. You're making me want to see it.
Yeah, you should. You really should. You guys would enjoy the hell out of it. And I can't wait to hear what you think about it. Especially the way it opens. I mean, just the opening using, it's Matthew Vaughn, so he's going to use some great music. I mean, from Layer Cake opened with, it was the cult, right? It was,
God, I don't know.
She Sells Sanctuary.
The only thing I remember from that movie is the scene where the guy beats the shit out of the guy to Ordinary World.
Yes,
like,
I talk about that. Anytime I talk about Matthew Vaughn, I bring up that scene. Yeah. So I was like, this guy has something.
But I won't cry for yesterday. Do you ever listen to that song, Steven?
I know it.
I know it.
You don't have it on 45 or anything
no,
and put
sir.
It on? Oh, you know one thing you'll like, Bill? In Bosch, there's a part where he talks about how vinyl is the only way to listen to music.
You know what's funny about Bosch is I think Natalie watched more of it than I have so far. And as she's watching it, you know, she lived in LA for a number of years. And she's like, how can a guy like Bosch on the pay of a detective have a house?
They totally explain it in the show.
Oh, they explained it?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
He explains it in the second episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because we're watching the pilot, and she's like, how does he have this? How can he have this house?
Basically, what, do you want me to explain it to you?
Yeah, please.
He had a case, like a huge case, that got turned into a movie, and he got paid a lot of money for it.
Oh, wow, that's
awesome.
For
being a consultant and working on the film, and he said, the movie turned out like shit, but the money I made off of it, I bought this house, so it was all worth it. And he has the movie poster framed on his wall.
I love that. I love that they explained it.
And I looked, you know, at the Michael Connelly books, and it's called Black Orchid or something like that. And you
Ooh.
see that one of the Bosch novels is named that. So I was like, oh, if you read that book, you know what the movie's about.
I really want to read those books now because I got obsessed with the Jack Reacher books and read through all of them. And now I think there's like one more that I'm supposed to read, but everybody was saying that Lee Child kind of bought into that whole mentality of the film Jack Reacher, which was a really poor remake of One Shot.
Right.
And so the next book is actually supposed to be the sequel to the film. So it's like he's changed up the entire, like, time period.
Oh, no.
Of the books to kind of match up with the films.
Yeah, one thing I read about the Bosch books is he, with each book, he ages in the books. So they said he's in his 60s now in the recent Bosch books. So he's aged over the years as he's written the books. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I need to look and see who does the audiobooks, because I love the Jack Reacher audiobooks. The guy who reads them is fantastic. And I think that's one of the only series I've listened to every book. I haven't read them, but I've listened to every single one. And I think there's like 20 of them.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? I have that monthly subscription to Audible.
Right.
So I'll get like free credits every month that I won't use. So then whenever there's a book series I come up on, I'm like, oh, great. Okay. I'll just start using these credits, and I'll start going through them. Right now, I'm going to go through all the Expanse books.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, so that's – I love my Audible. I've really kind of switched my opinion on that. Whenever a book's read really well, it's totally worth it.
Yeah, one thing that's cool is now that I have the Audible app, one thing that I complained about is that I always lose my place when I'm listening to books.
Yeah.
But seriously, the Audible app saves your place wherever you leave off, and you can come back a month later, and it's still in the same spot.
And it saves your place across all platforms.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Whether you access it on a tablet or your computer or your phone, it saves it across. It'll say the moment you load it up, the last spot was at this point on your whatever. Do you want to go here?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a great app.
Totally cool. Yeah, I could get into that some more, audiobooks is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's the end of the show. You know what happens. We, our brain shut downs. Our brain shut downs is what I said. Wow.
It shuts downs.
Yeah. Wow. Jesus Christ.
A little brain lethargy.
Yeah. What's going on with me, man?
His heart will give out. His brain will shut down.
Oh my God, I missed that show.
I know.
Jesse James dead man.
He sure as hell is. Before we go, guys, and wrap things up, I have a voicemail from Adam. Let's check it out.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. This is Adam Sexton, dropping off some voicemail, leaving some feedback, some updates on things that I've recently seen or played or listened to. And I'm glad to know that there will be an episode tonight, hopefully with the whole crew. So I'll be in the chat room listening along. So without further ado, here I go. Things that I've watched. I'm caught up on Agent Carter. I believe we got, what, maybe two more episodes left. And despite the low ratings that the show has got, it's really been one of the great surprises of the year so far. I love the show. I love that it's a great addition to the Marvel universe, and it's a good showcase for Hayley Atwell.
Oh,
and
showcase is good.
I'm hoping against hope that they just renew it for a second season, regardless, because I think they could really do so much more for this show. And last episode, man, a lot of stuff went down. There was a major character that got killed, and I can't wait to see how it concludes. So, yeah, I'm really hoping we see more life out of that. Obviously, I'm caught up on Justified. That seems to be the thing that I will always make a commitment to keeping up with, and
it has been great this year.
They're still killing it. Recently on Facebook, I posted a photo of Walton Goggins' Instagram update where he detailed his last day of shooting, and it was just kind of made me feel down. I mean,
he's
the end is near, so there's no other way to deal with it, but just head on. But I'm sure we're going to get a great last season, a great little hurrah for everyone involved. So, yeah, this show has been something else, and I'm glad that it exists. Glad that they, made it work as long as they did. So, anyway, to more positive affairs, I finally saw Inherent Vice this week. Okay. It was added to my cable's VOD channel. And gladly paid $10 for it, and it was everything that I wanted from a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. It's got excellent 70s period detail, really great song selection, this brilliant script with a mystery that gets really close to being as convoluted as the one in L.A. Confidential, although everything does add up. But it's really more in love with the characters and the dialogue. You've got this amazing ensemble cast that just brings life to all these amazing weirdos that Joaquin Phoenix, his character, runs into. And I can't even describe what Josh Brolin does in this movie. It's really unpredictable. And even Owen Wilson is fantastic, and it doesn't feel like I've felt that way about him in a long, long time. You've got gorgeous cinematography by Robert Elswit. It's very funny, often moving at times, and it's destined for repeat viewing, so I'm definitely picking this up for its Blu-ray release, and you should definitely check this out if you missed out on it. I also watched Gone Girl last weekend. I was a fan of the Gillian Flynn novel. I read it about a year or two ago, and it took me by surprise. You had this mystery thriller along with this pitch black view of marriage and how we never really know the people in our lives, especially the one we, you know, share our lives with, how there's a big it seems to put in this sense of distrust with the public in general due to public perception or televised gossip or even persecution in some regards. And, I think it's been Affleck's best performance so far. You can see how flawed this guy is. He's got charm and intelligence, but he's also very stubborn, and his willingness to make things work is, but his frailties, sabotage those good intentions. And I fell for the guy. I felt bad for him, but on some level, I was just shaking my head in disbelief as he made just one more mistake after another. And to some degree, he deserved to have the heat turned up on him, but not to the insane degree that it does, as the movie progresses. And I've made it known on the show that I have absolutely no love or respect for the Oscars, but on some weird degree, I'm hoping that Rosamund Pike gets recognition for her work here, because it's a doozy. I can't really say a whole lot about her performance without spoiling that character, but it came off as effectively as her character did in the book. So it's as wonderfully produced and put together as all his David Fincher movies are. And if you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend that as well.
Cool.
Also, last weekend, I did a 4-hour long Twitch broadcast of my, first playthrough it's still in progress, but of Alien Isolation for the PS4. I don't know if I'll continue with it. It's a 20-hour long campaign where it's putting you on edge for so long. I don't know if I can endure all of that, but I'll tell you, the first 4 hours of it is that game is amazing in terms of its level design, in terms of its atmosphere, and putting you on edge long before you ever meet the alien. But once you do, it's like, great, I've got one more thing to be scared of. And I found myself creeping along these big, long corridors, or there are some larger areas, but I was always being very, wary of, air vents or the ducts. And, in addition to the alien, you have to deal with these humanoids that are not above murdering humans. You even have to deal with other humans that are very distrustful and will also resort to, killing you. So, it doesn't really make for a feel good experience, but it's captivating on its own. And if you loved the original, Ridley Scott movie, I think everyone kind of owes it to themselves to try it out for maybe like the first 3 or 4 hours. I'm not sure that playing through all of it will be an experience that everyone will want to do, myself included, but, it's a worthwhile experience. So, I may broadcast some more, gameplay before I return it to Gamefly, but anyway, that was something else. Jason, I listened to episode 3 and 4 of your Chuck series podcast, and yes, I will send feedback specifically for that podcast. But man, you're still knocking it out there. They are as well put together as your movie minis. I love the commentary. You talk about your attention to the songs that are being used, and man, keep up the good work. And I do appreciate you inviting me on for the last ETL Daily. And it was great talking to you and Steven. I really loved our discussion about Jupiter Ascending. I feel we should, on some weird level, we should prolong our love for that movie as long as we can, because it's going to disappear soon. This is a year full of big event movies, and something like Jupiter Ascending is so special. It feels so personal, and I'm hoping it's not the end of big budget movie making from the Wachowskis. But
yeah, I don't think it will.
I just kind of wish that it got a better reception than it did. So I'm at least glad that, you know, people like the two of you, you know, gave it the love and support that I think it needed. And if Bill's on tonight and he wants to talk about it, I've heard some of his musings on it on Facebook, but I'd like to hear him speak about it. So anyway, guys, I will be, like I said on Facebook, I will be recording a new episode for my podcast. Adam Howard will be on it, and we're scheduled to record an episode Sunday night, and we've been texting each other about it earlier today. He's excited. He's on board with it. So I'm thinking this could be the best episode I've put out so far. Awesome. And I've already decided on a topic for my next solo podcast, which maybe I'll get to near the end of this month, maybe next weekend after next. So, so guys, good luck on tonight's show. Thank you for, you know, entertaining me week after week, and, keep warm from all, you know, the shitty weather, and good luck and to you and your families, and stay safe, and I will speak to you all later. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks a lot, Adam. I appreciate that.
Excuse me.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Adam, for all that feedback. That was pretty awesome. And Bill, earlier when you were talking about the Kingsman, I wanted to ask you about Jupiter Ascending. Because you saw the film, and did you see it in 3D, by the way?
Yeah, we did see it in 3D. And we drove all the way to Polaris, which is about, I would say it's about an hour from us. It's about 20 minutes north of downtown Columbus, so 40 minutes plus 20 minutes.
Is that like one of those XD-sized theaters? Or?
Yeah, it was a rave motion picture theater. That is now a Cinemark. And, it's that extreme screen, which is basically what the cinema, it's the XD. It's the Cinemark XD. So they have that really awesome, where the crystals explode.
Yeah. Oh my God. Every time that comes on, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like,
everybody that was in the cinema, I don't think they had ever seen that, because everybody's going, woo! Whoa, wow, yeah.
I don't know how many times I've seen it now, but every time I'm like, Jesus, this is loud. Yeah, it's awesome.
When we saw Jupiter, it hurt my ear.
Like,
my right ear just like.
It's like the entire world is being destroyed around us. You know, we could hear it.
Yeah, but it was a gorgeous presentation of it. It was crystal clear. The 3D was some of the best I've ever seen.
I thought so too. There, that part where they go to like the bureaucratic area where it's all space stations and shit.
Yeah.
It was so gorgeous and three-dimensional and all that. Man, it's gorgeous.
The design of it is so detailed, so meticulous, from the different, like the Abraxas ships, like they're just floating mansions, like floating palaces of Versailles.
Yeah, they're just like these ornate palaces in space.
Yeah, and It was amazing. I think my biggest problem with it was I wanted more. You could tell that they had taken this 200 plus page script and the studio went, no. We're going to give you 2.5 hours. We want you to take this possible trilogy of films and squeeze it into this. Because it was Game of Thrones. It was mythological. You had, It was mythological in the best way possible, because the Wachowskis are so steeped. Everything they do is steeped in mythology. And you got little glimpses of it throughout the film with the relationships between the brothers and sisters of the Abraxas, and then the special group of soldiers that Stinger and Kane were part of.
Right.
And it was wonderful. I loved it. I thought it was a beautiful film. It was wonderfully imagined. It was stunning. And I just wanted more. After, I was like, why, what the hell? Like, when it was at the end and they're on top of the building and they're going to do their little sky skating. I was like, okay, are you leaving it open for a sequel? Everybody, please go see this so that we can get more backstory.
Did you like the hover boots?
The hover boots were incredible. And then whenever you get to read about how Channing Tatum actually learned how to rollerblade just so that he could do that. Like all those, they put like green screened rollerblades on him to actually make it look as realistic as possible and not just this really kind of forced CG sliding.
You know what? So, I love the sound of his pistol. It was like this kind of old school, like laser gun kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
It was the entire film just had so much detail that I felt that it was honestly screwed. It was screwed by Warner Brothers. They didn't have the confidence in it that they should have. They didn't give it a fighting chance. And, it seemed like people were destined to hate it from the beginning anyways.
Yeah, yeah. People were already trashing. Remember the Will Wheaton project? They kind of made a joke about, they're changing the release date. This film is doomed, kind of a
thing. They moved it from like Christmas because Christmas was so, like inundated with films. And, they moved it to, you know, the early winter, whatever you want to call it.
By the way, I thought the effects in the film were flawless.
Everything about the film, when it comes to the technological side, the filmmaking, the cinematography, the special effects, it was flawless.
And the Michael Giacchino score. How about that score?
That Michael Giacchino score was everything that scores aren't now. You know, it had a theme. It had presence. It had weight.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. After I started thinking about it, I wanted to download it just so I could listen to it more because it was so well done. Yeah, I was really, really thoroughly impressed by it, and I wished I was able to see it again in 3D. But now it seems like I knew past opening weekend that it would be totally effed over. So, because I could barely find a cinema that was showing it on the biggest screen.
It took
effort to find a cinema that was willing to show it on their best screen.
It was so effed up how, you know, Steve and I had to see it at 10:20 at night because there was no 7 o'clock showing for it. It was stupid.
On the XD Extreme screen that we saw it on, they only showed it at 7:10, and there was only two evening showings.
Yeah, that's what this one was like, kind of two showings, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bullshit. It was total bullshit that they had screwed it out of that. I mean, granted, it was opening up against SpongeBob SquarePants, but. But yeah, it deserves so much more because when I was watching it, I felt the joy that I get from well-imagined films like Star Wars. It felt very Star Wars-y. It felt like there was this huge universe that needed to be explored.
The one thing, like, I've seen train wreck films before, all right? I've seen Highlander 2, The Quickenings. I know when a film is a mess. I know when, like, oh, this isn't going so well. I never once felt that in this film.
No.
I know you're a big fan of The Matrix or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a fan of the first film. I've said that many times. But there's parts in the second one, Matrix Reloaded, where I almost felt like, oh, geez, where is this movie going? You know, kind of like that. I felt that before. And yes, the movie is visually incredible in the Matrix films, but there were times where I thought the narrative was kind of losing itself. And that's a thing I've read several people say, this movie, you cannot follow it. You cannot follow the plot. And I think it's complete bullshit. You can.
Anything that you can't follow is not a fault of the filmmakers. It is a fault of Warner Brothers for not giving them having the confidence to let them film the script as it was written.
But I mean, I never felt lost where I was like, what the hell is going on? Like,
no, they salvaged it beautifully.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that one thing that Natalie had brought up for me was she got like a very Fifth Element vibe from it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, and I think in that how creative they were that, I mean, come on, Channing Tatum has a ridiculous tongue-in-cheek fight with a dinosaur man.
Which is like, freaking awesome.
Yeah, it's
spectacular, I would say.
Yeah, and the way that the fight finally ends, like just the whole capturing of it, like just hanging there, and it was just perfect. It was pitch perfect. It was joyful and it was beautiful and
it bites him on the shoulder and it's like holy shit. It was like all ferocious. Dude, when I came out of that movie, I even like messaged you. I was on like a movie high.
Yeah.
I was like, this movie's amazing. It's awesome. And then, you know, oh wait, I was wrong. Everyone's telling me I'm wrong. Never mind. It sucks.
Yeah. I mean, and then after the movie, of course, I had to go and like look at like the mythology behind it. Like the whole, it's a modern retelling of like the struggle of the Greek gods and all that. And it just, of course, yeah, you can get caught up in all that like convoluted kind of mythology.
The
but
Brex's just, siblings are kind of like gods, aren't they?
Yeah, and the whole
gods.
I always love whenever something plays with the greatest currency there is in a universe is time.
Right.
And in the way that, you know, all these different universes, all these different planets in this universe are farms, you know, to harvest these people to give others more time.
I would say that's a spoiler, only nobody's going to watch the movie, so who cares, you know, so.
Every review I read put that out there, the first thing. They're like, oh my god, this is ridiculous.
It's Soylent Green and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I saw Soylent Green in the, you know what's funny is the Brazil kind of nod was spoiled and everything too.
Oh, see, it wasn't spoiled for me. That's what I wanted to bring up because we're sitting in the theater. And Natalie leans over to me because she's a huge Terry Gilliam fan. And she goes, this is so Brazil. And I was like, oh my God, you're right. And then from each new place they go, you know, going through this bureaucracy.
It's like the worst day in hell, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then finally, the last person they go to, I instantly recognized him. And I think I actually let out a squeal. Like I looked at her and I went, oh my God, it's Terry Gilliam. Like I turned, it was pure movie joy. And it perfectly captured exactly why I love the film so much is that it's just.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was me. It was joyful. It was a celebration of science fiction, of space operas, of
you know what? I was even thinking of Mila Kunis's line when she said it. She goes, "I will never complain about the DMV again."
Yeah, yeah. But I loved it. I really loved it, and I feel that it got the short shaft, and that. I think years down the road, it will finally be appreciated, but it hurts my heart that the Wachowskis obviously put so much love and attention into this film.
Yeah.
And it's so underappreciated. Well, so hopefully it will develop a huge cult following and maybe we will get a continuation of the story. But, hopefully, you know, kind of like they did with the Animatrix, where people started to expand on that story and we got some of those amazing short films. Maybe that'll happen for Jupiter Ascending. I truly hope that happens.
Yeah. I wish it would, but I don't know where they can. I mean, like you said, an extended Blu-ray would be awesome.
Yeah. I don't know how much of the script was actually shot, how much they had to cut. How much Warner Brothers would even invest in finishing those things? You know, it's like whenever they shot the Hobbit films, New Line was willing to. Is it even New Line anymore? Who the hell is releasing them? Because didn't New Line go under? But
yeah.
It they actually gave Peter Jackson the money to finish filming the extended cuts.
But those movies were highly profitable though.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point.
Almost think back to remember what the Speed Racer Blu-ray doesn't even have a high. What do you call it? It doesn't even have a I give up, guys.
What, the DTS Master Audio?
It doesn't have, yes, DTS Master Audio. It doesn't have the, what do you call that? It has the 5.1 lower spectrum.
Oh, mix. You're right. It does have the 5.1 Dolby Digital, not the true HD.
Yeah, what is the word I'm thinking of?
DTS?
No.
Uncompressed?
Yes.
Uncompressed.
Good God, Jason.
the PCM uncompressed.
It doesn't even have uncompressed audio. It's just like, they're like, nah, just put the movie out. Who gives a shit? Kind of the thing.
Yeah, and I love Speed Racer. I think the Wachowskis are the underappreciated stepchildren of filmmaking.
But I don't think, like, I know Adam feared that they're not going to give him money to make movies like this. Warner Brothers, they made a shitload of money off of the Matrix films.
Yeah.
And they continue to make money off those films. I think that they will still be able to do whatever they want. I honestly do. And I am super excited about Sense8. Their Netflix series.
Yeah.
And I hope it kicks some ass.
You know it will. These Lana and Andy are some of the best filmmakers out there. They're not afraid to make films that are different. You know, I think that was the greatest thing about this is that it's a play on the space opera and various stories, but it's original. It's wholly original.
What a lot of people also miss about it is that the movie is fun. It's just a lot of fun. It's meant to be silly and you're allowed to laugh and have a good time. It's a very funny movie.
That's been lost. I feel that the cynicism in film criticism, in film fandom, has become just poisonous.
Yeah.
That people can't appreciate something that's
they're
made.
Not sure if they're, I brought up last week the line where Channing Tatum says, I have more in common with a dog than I do you. And she goes, I love dogs.
Yes.
And I laughed out. That's a funny line.
It's a wonderful line.
And I was listening to EW radio or whatever, and they played that clip, and they're like, ugh, horrible dialogue. And they were just commenting on that. It's like, you're taking it out of context. It's hilarious. It's a funny moment. They're cute together. They kind of have a flirtation. She's royalty. He's like this dog soldier, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
It makes sense in the movie, and it's funny. So kiss my ass is the way I feel.
I think that would be the perfect, review line on the Blu-ray release of Jupiter Ascending is this film is funny. Kiss my ass. Yeah. Like it's just you, I love this film. Kiss my ass.
Right.
Because it's really what it comes down to is, you know, everybody's going to be a bitch about it. Just kiss my ass. I enjoyed it.
My dad asked about it. You know, like he said, hey, should I see Jupiter Ascending? And I go, I don't know. I genuinely love the film.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no idea what you're going to think of it. And he goes, well, what do you mean? And I was like, no. What I'm saying is I'm kind of defensive because so many people look on Rotten Tomatoes. This thing's getting horrible reviews. I enjoyed the film. I really liked it. It's one of my favorite films that's come out recently. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to own it on Blu-ray. But will you like it? I have no idea.
Right. I would love to know what your dad would think of the Giacchino score.
Yeah, I think he's listened to it on YouTube, but I don't think he's seen the movie yet.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he acknowledges that it is fantastic.
Yeah, I'll buy it. You know, I've been buying very, very few Blu-rays. I bought St. Vincent and I bought Birdman, and that was because Target had there's 20% off on Cartwheel on the app. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. And I've been very, very careful about what I'm buying or what I'm bringing into the house. And I'll buy Jupiter Ascending.
Me too. I'm curious to, like, when it comes out on Blu-ray, I go, Heather, I really like this. Let's watch it. And to see if she goes, this movie's horrible. Or if she's like, well, first of all, if I already told her, Channing Tatum has his shirt off through most of the movie. That's all you need to know. It's just like, okay, let's watch it. You know, that's all.
All right. He's half dog. I love dogs.
Yeah. I love dogs. Wouldn't it be funny if he was half beagle and he had, like, long ears?
Oh, my God.
This movie's ridiculous. He has, like, pointy ears. Oh, wait, is that Harry complaining?
Yeah, that is Harry complaining.
No, guys, before we go, Bill, thank you very much for talking about Jupiter Ascending. One thing that we should mention, though, Bill, you're wrong, I'm wrong, Steven's wrong, Adam Sexton's wrong, the movie's horrible. Just so you
know. Oh, okay.
We're all
wrong. It's just the disclaimer. Don't listen to us.
Yeah, we don't know shit. Now, I'd like to thank our Patreons. I do that every time, don't I?
Patrons? Well, technically they are Patreons.
It says Patreon, so I see it, and I'm like, I would like to thank our patrons.
Yes, I would.
Guys, I want to talk to you about something. I would like to thank Adam Howard. Hey, Adam, what's up, man? Adam from the Bay Area.
Excuse me.
I'd also like to thank Jennifer Morris, Paul Tai, Steve Steinbach, Brian, Rick Lidster, Marvin, Hodor. I love seeing Hodor is still there. John Waltz, Ken Proventure, Kelly Murray, Jenny, Sreeli Meyer, Adam Sexton, Carl, Bill Lochner, Darren Finley.
That guy's an asshole.
And Athena Lewis, Kelly, I think I'm losing my voice too. Brandon, yeah. Slade Bailey, Jason Pash, Sean Uyoka, Tom Aresto, Robert Bihana, B. Sly, Ross Pony, Mark, Mr. Anderson. We're talking about the Matrix. Gotta have that in there. Rob Bickmore, Sam Abbott, Terry Farthing, Michael Kiley, Steve Swiley. He's Swiley. What am I talking about? Swiley? Jean-Francois, Mike Metcalf, and Paul Wong Pan. Thank you guys so much for being patrons of the show. I'm sorry about the Chuck podcast. If you're like, what the hell is this crap? It's just a little thing I've been doing. And I hope you guys dig it. If you don't, that's cool. Just skip it. But, it's just something I've kind of like had a, kind of creative burst where I wanted to do it.
I finished season one. I'll start listening to your podcast.
Really? Okay. That would be cool. Tell me what you think. It's like, it's awful, Jason.
I dare you.
It's as bad as Jupiter Ascending, Jason.
I meant to bring regular discs today.
That means it's pretty enjoyable. Wait, where's my disc, Steven? If you're done, I loan it to you.
It's sitting underneath my soda.
I'm going to have my magnifying.
It's a coaster today.
I'm going to have a magnifying glass ready, or one of those, like, you study diamonds. I'm going to look, for scratches on this. Any kind of scratches? Son of a bitch. I know it's going to be scratched up. What do you think, Bill? What are the chances?
Totally scratched.
It's a coaster. I'm telling you. Look for the watermarks on it.
Never be played again.
Yeah, it's like, no disc as I stick it in. Disc. It says no disc! That means you scratched it! Oh! My vinyl Blu-ray.
I was trying to figure out my vinyl Blu-ray. Where to put the needle on there,
No, it doesn't work like that. I forgot to give him a tutorial on how to play a Blu-ray. I stuck in my DVD player, nothing to play. It's like, oh, jeez. I stuck in my old laser disc, nothing happens.
I stuck it on the turntable.
It ain't big enough.
Put the needle on it.
Damn it. And one of them plastic things in the center don't fit. It's like, the thing you use to play 45s?
Yeah, one of them. It's not quite big enough. I had to cut out the center and put it in.
Oh, my God.
You did do that, didn't you? You're not even joking.
Yeah, he's completely honest.
Wait, we think he's joking. He's being serious. No, but guys, thank you guys so much for being here and doing the show. It's been awesome. Bill, it's great to have you back. It's great to talk movies again. How awesome has this been?
Yeah, it's great. Now it's going to take me a week to recover. Sorry.
Just before you go, Bill, I want you to yell this out. Dragonheart!
Dragonheart! Morrowind!
I don't know if you guys know. Do you guys remember when Avatar came out? I was really disappointed that at one point in the movie, Sam Worthington didn't yell, Avatar! Because that, like, it's ripe for it. You got to say the name of the movie really loud from, like, the top of a mountain where it echoes.
I'm an avatar!
Avatar! You are the avatar! Like a navigator or something?
You are the navigator.
Yeah.
We die.
We die. You'd hear that.
We die.
Guy is so dramatic, isn't he? Sack of shit.
I oh, it's the Codan Armada.
I totally want reboot Last Starfighter. It's time, guys. Don't you think?
It is.
Last Starfighter with Last Starfighter with Channing Tatum or something.
Oh, Chris, God, yes.
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine. Chris Pine to star
in
Last Starfighter reboot.
He's in everything.
Hey, direct you know what? Chris Pine, yeah, Chris Pine's in the Horrible Bosses sequel, but he was really good in that Joe Carnahan
oh,
film,
wait, you meant Chris
Stretch.
Pratt, but you said Chris Pine, didn't you?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pine, no.
Oh, Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt is the Last Starfighter.
But Chris Pine is in everything.
Yeah, totally. What the hell, Jason? My brain isn't working, you guys. I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry, you guys. But Bill, Steven, thank you guys. I already thanked you. Why am I doing it again? I have to go to Tyler tomorrow.
Oh, God. That's the worst news I've ever heard.
I gotta go to Tyler.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're going to Tyler, and I will be stuck at home in a foot of snow. Because we're supposed to get a massive butt ton of snow tonight.
Yeah, how has that been, Bill? Just
miserable. Dude, I can't even tell you how miserable. Because we have been, it's not the snow that's the problem, it's the cold.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it just sucks the life out of you. We woke up this morning and looked at the thermometer or the temperature on the phone.
You said sucked.
Yeah, and it was -9.
Holy shiznit.
Wow. Yeah, we're stuck in the Arctic in Ohio, and it's miserable.
That was in the singles in Kansas City a few days this week.
Yeah, we thought it was
bad. Man, that's cold.
We were driving cross country, and when we stayed in Cindy, Nebraska, thanks to Steven, it was -4 there, and we were like, wow, this is really cold. And little did we know we would get to Ohio, and a month later it would be -10 or -9.
Freezing the outer layers of his skin.
Holy shit. Is it the kind of thing if you sat out there naked, you'd die?
In
oh, minutes. Yeah, you would totally die if you sat outside naked.
Totally like the Jesse James' Dead Man guy.
Freezing yeah. the outer layers of his skin.
Oh, my
but
God.
But here you would probably get killed by a skunk or a coyote first. And speaking of last Friday... while you guys were having fun
complete
doing the show,
disaster.
I was washing my dog because he got skunked.
Oh, yeah. You told me about that.
Oh, he still smells a little bit because you can't really, you have to wash a dog with hydrogen peroxide, baking soda, and dish detergent to get the skunk
hazard.
Out. But you can't use baking soda and hydrogen peroxide on their head, like around their eyes and stuff like that. So, his head still is a little skunky.
Oh, jeez. What do you do? I mean, there's no way to clean it?
Just gonna let it wear.
I have to assume it actually gets worse as it wears. Like, whenever he first gets, like, you ever smell old onions?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it smells like old onions steeped in gasoline whenever they first get sprayed.
I remember just, like, gasoline is the worst. I can't handle that. That one time I got some gas on my shoe. It was just like, oh, I'm going to puke. I got to roll down the windows. Like, but I can't imagine skunk.
Yeah, skunk is gasoline and old onions.
Onions. Check the box.
And then as it ages, as it aerosolizes or aerosolizes, it gets that signature, you know, skunk smell you get whenever you drive past a dead skunk. But
could you, even if you use, like, dog shampoo on his head or anything, it won't help.
Doesn't touch it.
No, just can't get
just
rid of it.
Doesn't touch it. I have to go to Pet Supplies Plus or something and just see if there's some sort of eye and mouth safe method of removing it.
Do the old tomato juice.
Tomato juice is an old wives' tale. The moment it happened, it was so funny. I have everyone yelling at me from every angle, tomato juice, tomato juice, tomato juice. And I was like, it doesn't work.
Yeah, there was this.
I've never tried, so I don't know.
When Emma was younger, you know, she'd watch Curious George, and there was Curious George kept getting skunked. And so the man in the yellow hat kept washing him with tomato juice. And that was the first thing I thought of. You know, that's how they got George, the skunk off George, tomato juice, Bill.
George is an idiot. Only George and Webster are both idiots. They
George
just run after skunks.
Like five times in that episode, by
but
the way.
But they make a wash for him now, don't they?
Skunk wash.
Well,
skunk. They've got to make skunk wash.
Skunk wash.
You got the skunk wash.
Skunk.
Are we really going to push it to 3 hours?
I just noticed.
Hell yeah, let's do it. All right, guys, that's our show. Later, Steven. Later, Bill.
Later,
night, guys.
Good night, guys. Wee! Laters!
Nothing is over! Nothing!
Now this is podcasting.